this week. Another E3 is in the books, and the other expected E3 reference in the intro as well. We're recapping our favorite pieces of news from the keynotes, show floor, nearby vicinity, and the week in general. Join us and enjoy the hopeful excitement starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 780. Uh-oh, I got a problem in the title. For this, June the 16th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, welcome back tonight, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, well, we missed you last week.
What did you throw?
Our aim is always going to be improving, though. But I hope you had a good weekend. I know you had a very busy weekend.
Last weekend was a clusterfuck.
Sorry to hear it. Well,
but hey, I lived. Hey,
that's right. You lived to tell the tale.
I'll just put it this way: Sack Pride was drama.
Yeah, it was a lot of drama. All right. Anyway, drama free. Joining me to my right, your guys' left on TV. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
I wish I was drama free.
but you don't have a lot of drama to bring. Well, not that Jamie brings drama to the show, but it is.
No, I didn't bring any of it into the show.
But what you did bring, and I'm so excited about this, y'all. I'm so excited to show this, and I'll talk about this for our podcast listeners. But you actually picked me up an early birthday gift, and I'm so excited about it. It's a mini Commodore 64.
Yes.
Look, Bobby, finally got one of these.
Tell me
a little bit about what made you decide to pick one of these up.
The Evil G has it $50 off retail.
Yeah. So it's pretty.
So that's why.
And I think it's because they're clearing the shelves for the new one that will probably come out this year. Because I heard there's supposed to be like a C64 fat this year. Full size. I don't know, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I already got you your present.
Oh. Well, y'all don't have to give me presents.
Well, no. The pre-order thing.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. So Orange Lounge Radio actually next week is going to be 23 years old. But no, on the 23rd, we'll be 17 years old. Our first broadcast was actually, and it's the right date too. Our first broadcast was June 23rd, 2002. So next week is going to mark our 17th birthday. But the just kind of ironic thing is that my personal birthday is 3 days after that, June 26th. So it just kind of works out. Well, And I mean it. I don't really need presents. I appreciate them. But having you guys here every week to do this show with is a present in and of itself.
I just couldn't pass it up. It was like either a PlayStation Classic Mini or that. I was like, well, I'm not buying that. So,
I think you made the right decision.
I did make the right decision.
All right. So, hey, we've got a lot of gaming news to get into because this week is E3 Part 2, and there's just a lot going on in the gaming world. Last week when we were doing our show, we were right in the midst of everything, you know, with the Microsoft event having gone earlier that day. This time, you know, it's been done for a couple days now. It's interesting because E3, actually, even though it's like a three-day show, it feels like it's a week because you have like your 3 days of press conferences, and then that overlaps a little bit with 3 days of show. So it's kind of like a full week. It's kind of interesting how all that works. But in this week, we had some more press conferences. So let's start off with what I kind of think is the big one for a lot of people. Let's start off with Nintendo. Now, Dark Sakura, you're back after being gone for a week. So
I
want to let you start with it because I know there's at least one thing that got your attention.
There are two things that got my attention.
Okay, go for it.
So number one was, of course, Animal Crossing. And I have sat, and not only did I watch the trailer, but I watched the sponsored gameplay, you know, where they had the translators and everything and showing all the neat stuff. I've already decided that when the game comes out, I'm making a webcomic out of it. And it's going to be called Fuck You Nook. Or I might name it Worst Vacation Ever. I haven't decided. But I'm really excited about it. It looks like how I wanted it to, and it's got some neat stuff in there. I kind of dig the DIY stuff, so I'm really, really pleased. I'm looking forward to March. It'll be right before my birthday. It'll be a perfect present.
What do you think about the whole setup where it's like it's kind of funny the way it was set up because they're like, oh, we're going to kick you off on a desert island. And you have to
win a prize. All expenses paid. You're stuck with no shit.
But but people are moving there, right? So are they moving to your desert island? Is that the trick?
I guess so.
Because you could see very plainly in the gameplay that some of your favorites.
There's Hammy.
Yeah, are back.
Or his name isn't Hammy. It's like Hamlet. Hamlet was in the playthrough. I'm like, oh, and I've got so many names now memorized because they're all in Pocket Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I've been eating cinnamon rolls because I went to IKEA.
That's fine. They're delicious, too.
Look at this.
I'm trying very hard not to eat on stream.
Cinnamon roll.
Half-eaten cinnamon roll. How appetizing. Anyway.
Because IKEA.
So
anyway,
Animal Crossing.
So, but I'm really pleased with the updates to the graphical style because it really lends itself very well to the Switch's capabilities.
I think the biggest thing that was in that trailer that really like sold me on this is like an upgrade. And you're all going to laugh because it's not that big a deal. But I'm like, this changes everything.
Multiplay?
The fact that you can decorate outside your house as well.
Yes.
That changes everything.
Because, I'm going to make a trailer.
Because now I'm like, oh, this game's got like a Stardew Valley.
With a broken car and some tires.
But there was definitely like, I don't know, I felt it like a Stardew Valley influence on that trailer a little bit.
Now yeah. We can really trap them in fences.
It's a lot of the crafting and DIY-ness that people seem to really like a lot more lately.
Yeah. So I think the fact that now you can decorate the outdoors and now you're going to be able to really make that island your own, I think that's a game changer. Because, you know, in the earliest Animal Crossings, it was it put in a number between 1 and 1,000 and it's a seed for a random map, but it's like, you know, it's you're so constrained, and it's like you keep re-rolling until you get the one you want. But if you really – and maybe some of that will be true, too, still with, like, where the animals move to. But if you really have the freedom to redecorate and, like, you know, you can put, like, really hateful things in front of the animals' homes who you don't like.
I can't wait to make science. I just want Dina to live in my village or on my island. And I want to kick Ed into orbit. By the way, mm-hmm. I have a character that I hadn't seen before named Julian who lives in Pocket Camp. Mm-hmm. And he's a unicorn that wears an outfit with stars and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. And
that guy was in my town at one point, yeah.
Well, you know, in the game that you have to, you know, you can sometimes like, help me pick out a present for this person. And I picked out a handbag for Julian and he's like, I love it. Mm-hmm. So Julian is now my drag queen in my game.
All right. So Animal Crossing, you're very, yeah. Very happy about that, yeah.
Very, very happy.
How do you feel about the delay till March?
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be complete than deal with, you know, a patchy piece of shit.
And did you hear that they actually commented about the whole, like, because Nintendo was asked about this crunch time thing in this industry, and they actually said, you know, well, you know, they didn't kind of say, like, Animal Crossing was delayed due to that. But they did kind of come out and say, well, we're not afraid to do things that encourage a work-life balance. In fact, you may have heard us say that we're delaying Animal Crossing unexpectedly.
We're looking at you, Sakurai.
So they did. They bumped it back, assumably, to avoid crunch time and all that stuff. So I'm okay with it. You know?
We are looking at you, Sakurai.
We're not crunching on our net code at all. In fact, we're probably just not going to even put it in at all, either.
All right.
And anyway, and the other thing I'm super happy about, though, I'm sure a lot of us are, is a sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And I've already got some theories about it, but the one of them actually has to do with Zelda's hair.
Okay, tell us a little bit about this theory.
Okay, so you noticed in the trailer that Zelda's hair is cut short.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's easier to do a female character with short hair if they're going to be playable.
So you think that Zelda's going to be a playable character, or maybe Sheik? Type of thing? I don't know.
We'll see. But my other thing, too, is that the Ganon, the thing that they find under there is the original Ganon from Twilight Princess because of where the hand was holding it down. I have a very firm feeling that Breath of the Wild is going to start bringing in that continuity that they've really been trying to bring back together.
I do admit, like, don't get me wrong. I was happy to hear them acknowledge Breath of the Wild 2, but it's one of those things where I'm like, we've been new. Like, this game, of course they're making another Zelda. Of course, after the rave reviews Breath of the Wild got and the 10 out of 10s and the sales that game had and the fact that that game probably was a huge part of elevating the Switch to the level it's at now, duh, of course they're going to make another game in its engine. But it's still...
I didn't think it was going to be a direct sequel, though.
That's fair. Like, I was expecting it to go like a Majora's Mask type of direction where it's like a new experience just in the same engine. So the fact, well, to be fair, we don't have a title.
So no, they, but they it is a direct sequel.
Okay.
Because number one, they said sequel.
Fair. You're right.
Number two, outfits are the same.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, voice acting is the same. Even though we just heard gasps, the layout of the land was the same. The castle was the same.
Okay.
And
you're right, we don't see that happen a lot where there's like a direct sequel like that. Like, obviously, all the Zelda games take place in the same universe, but you're right, that's kind
of. And
different.
In Breath of the Wild, they said over and over that the evil came underneath Hyrule Castle. And when they did their discovery, it was clearly under Hyrule Castle because you see the castle rise.
Right.
So, the other. You know,
Look at you with the frame by frame analysis.
I might have watched it a few times because I love Breath of the Wild and I love the lore that it set up.
Nifty 805 in our chat room. We do have a live chat room because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network. Twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's V-O-G or Voice of Geeks Network. VOG Network if you want to follow along. And you can get more information at VOGnetwork.com because we have a lot of audio-only shows that you should be checking out as well. We do tape live and we have our chat room at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. And Nifty 805 says, Dark Sakura with the receipts.
Yes.
The other thing, too. Bam.
She's got a CVS receipt. I got one question, and she's got a receipt a mile long.
Well, just other things, too, that lend to it. I had always wanted them to do – I was really wanting more DLC where it was Link and Zelda going around fixing shit. Like, I've had this whole thing in my head about her trying to, you know, that the treasury is intact and hiring people and rebuilding the castle town – and Lon Lon Ranch and all that crap. Because, you know, the ruins of Lon Lon Ranch are what's supposed to be. And the castle town are all there. You know, so I was looking at all of that. But the other thing that makes me think that this is the true Ganon that's under the castle is because everything was something Ganon, like a description. And I truly believe that all of those were a projection of the original Ganon. And I like that theory. I really like the idea of it, that there's just so much evil wrapped up in this creature that by them destroying all of the projections, because they said that, you know, in the game it was said that this is the final form, it's ready to sacrifice itself fully for its mission, and then that's when the real Ganon wakes up because it has no other forms to project. So anyway, I've got thoughts.
And from a non-lore perspective, Dark Tetsuya, from a how-to-build-the-game perspective, says it would be easier to reuse a lot of the same code and engine instead of building a new game from the ground up. Oh, absolutely. I kind of always expected but you're right. It's more like a direct sequel as opposed to it's a new Zelda story. It's just in the same engine.
Well, and now the other thing, too, is that have you ever watched – there's a YouTube channel I love called Boundary Break. And
I have not seen it.
Well, and I had already known some of this because I like to see, like, well, you know how I was in World of Warcraft when I got my Demon Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all did, like, End of Time, and 2 hours later, I'm like, I'm still in End of Time outside the boundaries. You know, I'm in Dalaran now, an instance Dalaran. You know, I do stuff like that, so I love Boundary Break. And, you know, just looking at the complexity of how they built the game and that you've actually got rendered land outside of the borders.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think they could do so much more with the engine that they probably had the capacity to and just did not. This is our developed area. The rest of it is no man's land.
Mistake Theory with a perspective in our chat saying, I love when Nintendo does direct sequels. Silver and White 2, I think you mean Black and White 2 for Pokemon, are probably my two favorite Pokemon games for that reason. Yeah, so. Anything else on the Zelda sequel? Because I want to talk. So Dark Sakura is mentioned, those are the two things that got her going excited. Oh. And those, yeah.
And Nifty 805 says Link and Zelda are the new Sunny and Cher. And Sia Tiberi says, so Link should avoid skiing and Zelda is basically immortal.
Oh, geez. All right.
And does she believe in life after love?
All right. Anyway, okay. So those are the two things that got you excited.
Also, shipping.
I'm very excited about those games as well. But let me talk about the things that got me going like, wee. Okay. Here's the big thing. And Jamie, you have to appreciate this as well. So we heard the rumors that the collection of mana was going to come out in the U.S., right? Although I full expected that they were going to do the lazy and they were just going to take Final Fantasy Adventure, Secret of Mana, and they were either going to cut Second Densetsu 3 or they were going to give a Secret of Evermore instead, which I actually would have been okay with.
You know, I have that cartridge.
I do too. Plot twist. I don't have a lot of games, but that's one of them. And I always think that game got a lot more crap than it really deserved. I thought it was fine. But then they came out and said, oh, yeah, the collection of mana is coming out. And by the way, Second Densetsu 3 is now Trials of Mana. And it's out today. And I was like,
what?
Bye. Yeah, collection of mana is out.
On what?
Girl, I've played it on the Switch.
Holy crap.
You didn't catch that?
No, because I keep in mind, I've also been at work and had drama.
Yeah, no, I got you.
So I'm going to message.
So yes, girl, you can play.
On the eStore?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm messaging Dan.
You want me to
go
get my Switch? It's in the other room
now. No, I'm messaging Dan right now.
You can play Second Densetsu 3, the official English version, right now. In fact, actually, on my personal Twitch stream at Rob Roberts, cheap plug, like on Wednesday and Friday this week, I've played through about 2 hours on stream, maybe a little longer, 2.5 hours on stream. and played some of the game. It's really like, I did play the translated ROM a little bit a long time ago, but I was kind of like lost. I didn't really know what I was doing. Not to say that's necessarily changed, but I do feel like with the official English translation, I'm kind of like, I don't know, I'm a little bit like able to figure stuff out and go in the right direction. So that's really cool. Now, here's the other thing. So not only did they announce that Trials of Mana or Second Ancestor 3 is out today in the English version of the Collection of Mana, but they announced we are working on a remake. So Trials of Mana is already being remade, just like they did Secret of Mana, like earlier, like it was about last year they did the Secret of Mana. Now, not everybody loved that remake. It had its issues, but Square Enix is saying, and they're talking about, we have learned from some of the issues of this, and this is what we're going to do different with Trials of Mana. So it is nice to hear the company say, we're doing some things differently. So yeah, I'm like already excited for that remake as well. So, and you know what I've been playing, it's different. Trials of Mana is different because like the beginning of the story is different depending on who you start with and how you build your party.
Well, right. Yeah. And because you're basically taking three different storylines out of seven players,
six. Yeah.
And building it from there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, anyway, so if you want to check out Trials of Mana, it's out now. So that was definitely one of the big ones that got me going, what? And then I would say as far as, like, games coming out today, then they released that Cadence of Hyrule. I mean, it wasn't today, but it was still, like, what, by the end of E3, Cadence of Hyrule came out, which, you know, I haven't been able to play yet, sadly, because here's the thing. And y'all have even called me out on this on Twitch. If I buy Cadence of Hyrule, what's going to happen? I will suddenly stop playing Trials of Mana and not get any further. So I have not bought...
Well, then I will be playing through it because I don't really care about Cadence of Hyrule. Okay. I didn't like Crypt of the Necrodancer. It just wasn't fun to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, apparently they've made some changes to make it a little... I don't want to say to make it easier, but to make it feel a little less grindy. Like, I guess you don't necessarily lose everything like you would in a lot of roguelikes. You don't necessarily lose everything when you die and go back to start. So they have tried to make some, I guess, quality of life improvements, probably to appeal a little more to Zelda fans in that regard. So
if there was something else I was a little excited about, was the Panzer Dragoon remake.
Yes, how could I forget? Oh my God. You know what's funny? The news about the remake was already out there because I was like, I feel like, did we? And it what? We did mention on a previous episode that... But it was kind of like almost an aside. All it was that we know these companies are working on it. We don't know where. We don't know when. We don't know how. But it turns out Nintendo, it's a Switch game. So somebody brought up during Bobby's show, though, a Panzer Dragoon VR. I know you ain't all about VR. But I got to say, when I heard that, I was like, oh, things I didn't know I needed until you said it.
There's a couple other things I was really excited about, though.
Yeah, please.
I mean, I'm actually disappointed about the Dark Crystal RPG.
That was like a surprise, wasn't it?
I hate tactics games.
But you're going to try it anyway?
No, I won't.
No, oh, okay.
I know I don't like tactics games. Okay. I've tried to like tactics games. I'm like, I'm going to love this game. I love this. No, I hate it. I can't play Fire Emblem. I can't play... Even I tried to love the Macross one back in the day, and I hate them.
See, here's the weird thing. Like, I'm with you. Like, most tactic games I can't get into. I have tried to get into Skya. I've tried to get into Fire Emblem. I just don't get into them. But Final Fantasy Tactics, give me more. Give me more. Like, I would – give me another Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, seriously.
Well, the other thing I was really happy about, and I, you know, saw it and then forgot about it, but I was still happy, was John Romero doing a game. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see anything about zombies.
And then Contra Rogue Corps.
Yeah, Contra.
Yeah,
Contra. It looks like hot garbage, but I'll probably play it anyways.
And I don't give a shit about Witcher.
Well, it's done by the same guy that did Contra 3 and one of the other Contra games. So it's one of the original creators. So I'm down for that. But it just looks like hot garbage.
And but it should be noted that the other big It's Out Today announcement, because we love it when Nintendo does those, right? The other big It's Out Today is the Contra collection. So, Jamie, if you missed the memo, I mean, you're probably like, I already own all those games. But if there's something you're missing in that Contra collection, that all came out as well. Just dropped. It's nice to have it in one place.
I think possibly. I mean, also, I'm a little bit weirded about Luigi's Mansion 3. Although I'm looking forward to co-op because I would play that with Dan.
Do you know how many memes I've seen already about Gooigi? Anyway, yeah. SSGO 100 Matt kind of sums up the new Contra game saying, yeah, that Contra game looks like it knows what it is and could be totally fun, campy trash.
What Contra 3 was.
I'm
that sounds like me.
Actually, I'm
totally fun, campy trash.
You know what? if Contra is self-aware like that, and to be fair, there's a playable panda bear I spotted in that. So that on the self-aware meter makes me think if Contra is self-aware that it can't be trash, that actually could be a great thing.
That's Contra 3. You were jumping from missiles. I mean, from missile to missile, it was can't be trash.
Well, let me, that's a very kind of Bayonetta thing.
Loki, let me ask you. I mean, we've talked about our faves from Nintendo. What caught your eye? The Contra thing? When I saw, okay, I know there was one other thing that had to catch your eye in that. The No More Heroes?
Yeah, No More Heroes 3. I don't remember 2, though. I played through 1.
Yeah,
I think. Maybe.
No More Heroes 2 did come out.
We need, like, a collection to come back, because I don't remember them very well. But, yeah, No More Heroes 3 looks crazy. So that'll be neat. I don't know. I was kind of underwhelmed by all of it. And I know that's a horrible thing to say, but I was underwhelmed by all of it. It was just kind of,
Did you maybe, like, I have to admit, at the end of it, I was kind of like, oh, you know, because it's so weird because, okay, I'm going to get so much shit for this deservedly, but I don't care. I'm living my truth. When they announced the Breath of the Wild sequel, I was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, great. Like, we knew that was going
to
happen.
It's yet another game that we can add to the list that's in development, like Metroid Prime 4, you know?
Yeah, there was that part of me that was like, I kind of wanted to see more on Bayonetta 3. I would have loved an update. I hope they'd put out that Metroid Prime trilogy. But I, like, you know, that was my, like, initial gut reaction. But then, like, a couple hours later, I really looked back and I said, wait a minute, Rob, you're doing that thing that you tell people not to do. Don't set these expectations for things you want to see, and then when they don't appear, you're just going to get disappointed. Because when I took a step back and really looked at it, I was like, you know, Nintendo really did have a fun year. They had a lot of stuff. So what I'm asking you, Loki, did you maybe make that same mistake?
I had no expectations, but like some of these games, like a Panzer Dragoon remake, is like it wasn't something I was looking for, so I didn't really care that they're making it. You know, same with the new Contra game looked okay, but it wasn't like, oh my god, I got to play that. You know, it's. And I don't really play Smash too much, so of course they had, you know, the big announcement is Banjo-Kazooie is in Smash now as a character as well as Dragon Quest's hero.
I think you wanted to add to this, Jamie.
I was just saying, if they were going to do Panzer Dragoon, why don't they go and get what people really want and do Panzer Dragoon Saga or RPG?
Well, maybe, you know, if one does well, it leads to the next. Kind of like, I would say because that Secret of Mana remake did well enough, it convinced them, you know, even if it maybe wasn't here, maybe it did better in Japan, I don't know. But I think it did fine enough here. I think it did well enough where now they went and they did Trials of Mana and we're getting an English version because of it. They're taking that effort. So, I mean, if a game does well, they might be encouraged to do more. Now, I will say this. Before y'all, like, drag me about and cancel me about what I just said about Nintendo, here's the thing, though. Here's what Nintendo does very well with their Direct. And, like, I give them an A+ on this, honestly, where I don't think Microsoft really does this. I don't think Square Enix or any of the other ones we're going to talk about really did this. Nintendo did a great job in that I would say maybe, like, 90% of those trailers, save for maybe, like, the No More Heroes and a couple others, 90% of those trailers, and I made up that statistic, but I feel like most of what we saw, you saw gameplay. You didn't just see a pre-rendered CG announcement thing. You saw gameplay. You saw what those games really look like. And that gets me more excited about the games when I can see, oh, that's the game I'm going to be playing. What have I been sitting here bellyaching about Death Stranding for years and years on this show? As rad as it is, as great as this cast looks, as much as I love Hideo Kojima, where's the fucking game? And they did finally show it to us, but
still don't know what it is.
Still, I have this sense of I'm not sure what it really looks like. You know, I'll probably buy it anyway because Kojima, but what is the game? You know, so anyway, I love the Nintendo shows the game, and I give them major props for that. I do. So
I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying that, like, I'm not entirely excited about all the stuff that they have. Animal Crossing looks okay, but, like, my expectations for Animal Crossing aren't very high either. It's just, I'll play it when it comes out, but, like, I don't know. There wasn't really anything that had me jumping up and down, like, oh, my God, I need to buy this, you know. Whatever, it's fine. That's how I kind of buy things on the Switch anyways.
Now, SSGO 100 Matt says something that I kind of agree with, too. I was really disappointed that there wasn't any Nintendo Online news. I really hoped they were going to be saying something.
Yeah, that is kind of disappointing.
But Bobby has a really good point, and I was disappointed at first too, but then I kind of took a step back and realized they could kind of do a direct about that whenever they want, and people will still well receive it. And I think Bobby kind of hits the nail on the head here. Bobby says, I think September is when we'll get that, so people resubscribe. Because people bought their Nintendo Online for a year. Now in September, Nintendo's going to be tasked with, now we need you to renew for another year. So I think any big announcements and things along the line of other freebies like Tetris 99, and this, which I would bet with the success of Tetris 99, Nintendo's got to be looking at that and going, what else can we put?
Wide versus 100.
In that, okay, you ready for my pie in the sky dreamboat thing that Nintendo, I really want them to do? An NES remix super multiplayer.
I like a new one.
Think about it.
Super NES remix, yeah.
Maybe to go with it. Anyway, let's see. What else did I want to mention? I thought there was one other thing from the... Oh, yes. The one other huge game none of us talked about. We talked about the Link Breath of the Wild sequel. We did not talk about all that they showed with the Link's Awakening remake that's coming out.
That looks pretty interesting.
I love the art style.
Wind, fish...
And I love that they added that little, I don't want to call it a Mario Maker mode, but they definitely added like the customizable dungeon, which, you know, doesn't seem like it's, oh my God, like all this customizability, but it's enough to kind of make you go, oh, that's neat. You know, like, oh, that's an additional, that's something new, you know, something to add to the table of the remake. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, I'm going to pick this game up. Hello. I like these, like 2.5Z Zeldas are like, or 2.5D Zeldas are like my favorite. So I'm going to definitely pick it up. I mean, no question. And Mario Maker 2. Hello. I'm buying
of course.
But I'm glad they didn't spend a lot of time on that. The one I thought they spent maybe a little too much time on was the Dragon Quest Builders 2. Because we kind of knew that was coming, and, you know, we already kind of know, and we just saw it previously at Square Enix.
The one good thing, though, that did come out of that whole Treehouse thing is they did walk back their decision on multiplayer.
Oh, good call. They did.
So they're going to allow, you know, you'd be able to play with friends online as well in unranked matches. So that's going to be coming after launch, but it is something that's coming.
Yeah. All right. And then we had a little more information on Pokemon Sword and Shield as well, but a lot of that during the Direct when they were showing a lot of that. I'm sorry, the Treehouse when they were showing some of that. Like the,
Pokeball Plus?
There's that. But I'm thinking, oh my God, now I can't remember the name. And I already hear Shane screaming at me somewhere. The little corgi with a heart on its butt. Yapper.
Oh, yes.
What was the name?
The cute thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. That thing was so adorable. Yipper? Yapper? Something like that? Adorable. So that was cool. But I know there's a little controversy going on with Pokemon as well, but stay tuned. We're going to address that a little bit later in the show. So,
yeah.
All right. So Yamper. Thank you, Acta. I knew somebody in chat would know. Yamper. I was called Yelper.
Old Yeller.
Old Yelper. All right. And SSJ100 Matt points out the sheep Pokemon. Yeah, the Wooloo. That looked really cute too. Although, you know, we've already had sheep Pokemon. So we had Mareep. Poor Mareep. Rest in peace. All right. Anyway, let's move on. There were other conferences as well, right? The night before, we had Square Enix's event.
Yeah. So,
and just quickly, I want to say, Bobby and I did that thing we mentioned on last week's show. We did our. Oh, you were watching.
I was watching.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, huh? So that's. It doesn't just have to be me and Bobby too. Someday me and you can do it. Someday you and her can do it. You know, we can. We have the technology to be able to do those impromptu shows. I was surprised. Our chatters seemed to be really into it. Because what I tried to do is I tried to not be cynical about it. And I think that goes a long way with people. Because too many times we look at live streams and there's people going like, oh, this sucks. Or this is trash. Or this is garbage. Or let's take the camera into the bathroom. And like all these like trashy things, right? So
sorry if I join in.
We
know.
Did something positive. Yeah.
It's not going to be positive.
I'm going to have, you know what? I'm only going to allow you on a stream like that if I get a little, the buzzer that comes with the board game Taboo. And every time you negative, I get to go, bzz, bzz.
That poor battery is going to be burnt to crisp.
What do you guys think? Should we do that for an episode of Orange Lounge Radio? The Taboo episode of Orange Lounge Radio, where every time Loki says something negative, we're going to hit the buzzer. And the batteries are drained by the end of the night. Yes, and no from Bobby. Well, so far, yeses are in the lead.
Bobby's going to need that for any time Rob calls into his show because you never know.
I dropped the F-bomb on the Bobby Blackwell show tonight when he tries to keep his show very clean. And I made a boo-boo. I slipped up because it was after 6 o'clock. And like the gremlins, you don't feed them after midnight or they might drop an F-bomb. All right. Anyway, let's talk about the Square Enix thing. Actually, let me ask Dark Sakura. I don't know if you saw. I know you were busy with work and stuff. Did you see any of the stuff out of the Square Enix event? Like the Avengers thing was pretty.
Well, the Avengers thing looks nothing like them. But I was really into Final Fantasy VII, really into it.
Yeah, doesn't the remake look good?
Honestly, though, I don't like Barrett's voice. I mean, it sounds like it's trying to be a tough voice, but it sounds like it's trying to be a tough voice. You know what I mean? But Tifa and Cloud sound great.
Okay, but if we're talking about VII and the remake and getting to see things in HD, how are your feelings about Aerith?
I still hate her. But did you notice how much it seemed to focus on Cloud and Tifa?
What if they change what happens?
Oh.
No, she has to die.
OMG.
No. You forget. She actually has to die for the plot.
You need to take that thought out of the universe. I want you to pick up that thought and take it out of the universe.
You throw that thought away in the garbage disposal.
Don't resurrect her.
This is J100 Matt says, buzz him now.
It's too late.
All right. Anyway, sorry, Dark Sakura. But, you know, one other thing I did notice, Dark Sakura, was that they did, for what it's worth, they did call her Aerith in the English language version.
Good.
So they must not be changing her name this time.
Well, honestly, that's how it should be.
Right.
But Sephiroth sounded a little weird.
I didn't like Sephiroth either. That was probably my biggest criticism, too. But the gameplay, like, seriously, it's like they took Final Fantasy XV's engine, which we all knew that's what was happening, right? And they made it better. Like, they really, like, oh, man. That's the one thing I really wish I could have gone to L.A. and played was that. But, you know, my friends that are that were down there and got their hands on it say, this is great. It's just, it's weird to me that this is basically Final Fantasy XVI. And if Delvin was here right now, he'd be telling me, I've been telling you that, and I don't think they're not going to call it.
It's like 16, 17, and 18.
They're not going to call it Final Fantasy 16, but basically the reason why we haven't seen a Final Fantasy 16 is because this is it. They're putting everything into this that would have been going into a Final Fantasy 16, including, yeah, multiple, like a Final Fantasy 16, 16, 2, and 16, 3, clearly, because as we heard, the first episode is nothing but Midgar, and it's 2 Blu-rays. So clearly they are going to expand on the story.
It's going to be crazy.
They have to be. And so...
My poor bandwidth cap.
Oh, man, fuck you for putting that thought out there, because now I'm like, what if they do change major plot points? Like, what if they do... I don't think they change that one. I think that one is, like, oh, my God. There would be protests outside of Square Enix headquarters led by her. But
I'd be out there with my sign.
Yeah. Let me put more evil into the universe.
No!
What if there's multiple endings? One, you get the killer, and one, she stays around and lives.
Actually, I don't hate you as much for that. It's not the whole killer and lives thing. The multiple ending thing, though, we have to address Final Fantasy VII's kind of crappy ending. That is going to have to be addressed in the remake. And I do fully expect, you know, it's... We're about 10 years from finding out what it's going to be by the time we get there. But I expect them to address the ending of Final Fantasy. And multiple endings, why not? Why not a good ending where you see the Red 13, who, by the way, was very much absent from that preview.
Nanaki.
What if we see the Red 13? You know, you guys, I'm talking about a game from the 90s, so I hope it's not spoilers at this point. But if you watch during the credits, you see... Red 13 run out into and see a Midgar where the life is back and the plants have grown around it. And that is like kind of like the true ending in many ways. And that was the best part of the ending, in my opinion, because the rest of it didn't make a lot of goddamn sense. But maybe something like that would be expanded on. You see more if you get the good ending.
I just hope they incorporate some of the Advent Children stuff because that movie is badass.
I just hope they let you skip the fucking summon animations finally.
Knights of the Round.
No. I want to be able to pick and choose to skip. Like, because if I need to go to the bathroom during the end of the game, I want to be able to do some Knights of the Round, Quadra Magic, and Mimic or whatever, so I can go have a decent pee break and come back and have it still finishing. I have made a sandwich during the process of that entire thing.
Akuma JP putting his thoughts on the ending out in our chat room at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork saying, no, that was to show Red is not extinct. He got kids. That is true. You could see his child in that little sequence. Children, it's been a long time, in that sequence too. So, I mean, there's many, many conclusions and many things you can draw out of the ending, that's for sure. As Stone Under Matt says, one Blu-ray disc is just the data for the summons. Here's hoping. That Shiva animation better scream gay pride. That's what it is. Yes. I wish you could see the face Jamie just made.
That's a uh-huh.
Yeah, because like when Shiva comes out and snaps her fingers, I want to be left shooketh.
Hold on. Can you see me?
Yes, that's the face she made. Even Loki is kind of smart. Yep, when Shiva comes out and does her thing, I want it to be like, and Lady Gaga appears on a giant mech, and every like it's just and there's a parade. Yes, that's what I want.
And there's a parade.
I can just picture that actually.
You see, like you know. Look, you can have all the other summons, okay? Straight people can have Knights of the Round and Ifrit and whatever, blah. But
we get the diva.
Let me have Shiva.
That is
let
Shiva.
My people have Shiva. Okay. Anyway.
And Shiva, by the way, huh. Drag queen.
Yeah. Was it in 13 that Shiva was on a motorcycle? Or was there, wasn't
it was
one?
The Shiva sisters on the
Shiva
motorbikes.
Shiva sisters, yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. Anyway. Tell us about some other things we saw at the Square Enix event, Loki.
Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see that, like, without the Game Boy Advance and the complicated setup that required. But I'm kind of into it. I'd like to check out that game again.
Last Remnant's being remastered as well, which is okay.
And we kind of knew that was happening because the other one got delisted.
Yeah. Dragon Quest Builders 2. Looked okay.
The first game is a lot of fun, and it looks like they really amped up what you could do creatively in the second one. I'm definitely interested in the second one. I just feel like there's so many other games to play. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those games that's going to get lost in the shuffle, but I feel like I owe it to myself to check it out at least, because the first game is a lot of fun. I didn't beat it, but I played a lot of it.
Is it part of that Xbox Game Pass thing? So, maybe?
We should talk about that real quick, actually. A little tangent. You ready for a tangent? I do not believe it's part of the Xbox Game Pass, but we did talk about Microsoft last week, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I mentioned this on last week's show. No, because I wouldn't have, because I didn't do it till Monday or Tuesday. I bought the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. They had a great deal where just for $1, you can upgrade your existing
gold. How long does that go for?
I don't know how long it goes for, but... See, Bobby did the smarter thing. I didn't realize. I thought it was just $1 for the first month, and that's all I was getting. And I was okay with that. I was prepared to pay the $15 a month or whatever. And I saw some chart that talked about converting gold time to – so I didn't think it was going to be one for one. But I paid the $1, and it's like, okay.
So is it $1 per month, or is it
$1
period?
And then it said your next billing date, March 2020, because that's when my current Xbox Live was set to expire. And I was like, oh, my God, I could have padded that out like with a cart. And that's exactly what Bobby Blackwolf did. He went and he padded. I guess it won't let you pad it out more than 3 years, so don't buy too much Xbox Live. But you go buy like – just buy like a 2-year card, pad out your Xbox Live, then pay the $1 to upgrade, and you're going to be happy. But, you know, your results may vary. Read the fine print. Make sure that promotion's still going, because I'm sure as Microsoft realizes more and more people are figuring this out, they're going to pull the plug on that. But I just – yeah. But anyway, I mean, I was fully prepared to pay the $15 a month after this month, and I would have done it. So when I get to my game of the week, I'll talk about some of the games I've been able to play as a result of that. But, I think that's worth noting is that Microsoft did convince me to get on this Game Pass Ultimate thing, because it's kind of what I was hoping for from Stadia that I didn't get. So I'm going to put my stock in the Microsoft thing.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft's getting a lot right for the future. So we'll see. I'm so curious to see how Sony responds to it next year. We'll see. Anyway, sorry. Back to Squeenix.
They showed off a Dragon Quest 11 Echoes, or S Echoes of an Elusive Age.
Yes, the definitive edition, where now I'm kind of pissed off I bought the first version, because this other one seems like it has so much more. You can flip between the classic Dragon mm-hmm. Quest, and it has the redone music, which the original game badly needed, let me tell you. and so on. So I'm kind of mad that I'm probably going to buy this again.
Let's see. They showed off the expansion for Final Fantasy XIV a little bit, Shadowbringers.
That was cool. Don't get me wrong. I love Final Fantasy XIV, but I feel like they spent a lot of time on that when it's like literally out in like less than 3 weeks.
Romancing Saga 3 and mm-hmm. Scarlet Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they showed off a little bit of gameplay for Dying Light 2, which has been a while since they've shown that. War of Visions, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius.
Oh, yeah, that was the tactical spinoff of the mobile game.
Yeah.
Which it is not the same as Final Fantasy Tactics, so I'm not interested in playing it on mobile at the end of the day.
There's a game called Outriders by the people that did Bulletstorm.
Oh, yeah, that was looked like an Eidos type of thing the when Square purchased that. So, yeah, that looked all right for people that are into that.
Final Fantasy VIII Remaster.
I think a lot.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of people excited about the 8 remaster. So you're probably wondering, because you know I'm somewhat known and disliked sometimes for saying that Final Fantasy VIII is my least favorite in the entire franchise. However, I'm very happy for the fans of Final Fantasy VIII that they get this remaster.
As long as it's not as fucking grindy.
Well, that's the thing. Here's the thing. My problem with Final Fantasy VIII was never the story or the characters. I actually think all of that is great and would have made for an amazing movie if Final Fantasy had gone that direction. It's the drawing magic, the junctioning magic, and that whole system is just broken. And having that system in a game where you can't out-level the monsters as well is it doesn't work for me at all. And so I'm kind of like, I don't see how a remaster is going to fix that for me. But granted, the PC version had that change where you could just instantly draw 99 at one spell, you know, so you could kind of cheat a little bit through the game. So I don't know. I'm undecided. It kind of depends what price they put it out for. But for the sake of the fans that always tell me I'm being unfair when it comes to Final Fantasy VIII, I'm willing to give this a shot. So to be continued.
Then the one I was looking forward to was Marvel's Avengers, which they showed off some gameplay for that. But I don't know. The gameplay didn't look all that exciting, and I'm a little put off by the way the characters look. Just, I know, I get it. It's not supposed to be the cinematic universe. I'm fine with that because we've had, you know, other designs in other games that have been fine, but something's just really kind of weird looking at it. But they have, like, a really good voice cast for it, so I'll be willing to give it a shot. Just, like, if I have to look at Marvel's Avengers versus, like, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I'm kind of leaning a little bit more towards Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
The Ultimate Alliance games have always been good.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even bring that up in Nintendo's event. They showed Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Hello. Well, I guess we can talk about that.
They talked about that before.
Yeah, but still, to see it in action, hear about the DLC, see just how many characters are in it, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll check it out, but it's just, the premise doesn't have me like, oh, my God, I really need to play this.
Here's the thing. I didn't dislike it. In fact, as it was going, I was like, okay, this is pretty neat. Like, I'm into it. I fully realize they can't have the characters in the Avengers look like the movie side.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
And they spent a lot of time trying to justify that it was a different universe and it's not the characters you're used to. In fact, I kind of feel like they spent too much time trying to justify it, because there was that whole sequence where they had like Troy Baker and Nolan North and the other voice actors sit down and they're like, yeah, Bruce Banner, he's kind of like this character, the da da da. And it's like, okay, as much as I love these voice actors, as talented as they are, I don't need to hear them recite characters we already know to me. Because I think the reason why they did that is they were really trying to show it's these versions of the characters. We have a separate version of these characters. What I would have preferred to see is just let the game do the talking.
Yeah.
Let the game do the talking. Because then when they came out on stage and they started to talk more about, oh, it's going to be like there's going to be co-op and it's going to be a persistent experience and you're going to have these generated quests that you can do, I was like, I would like to know more. Are you going to show me? No? Oh, okay. And you're not? Okay, fine.
So I'll just have to wait and see when it comes closer to coming out, which is next May. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Just right now, it's just I'm not that excited about it. I was really looking forward to it when it was coming out, but I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah. Moving to some comments. There's some really good comments in chat. Kaijudo in chat just flat out says, Avengers looks like trash. I just want a sandbox superhero or Marvel game. Mistake Theory says, the six Tomb Raider games they made were just so good. I can't help but think they had to have brought some of that greatness over to the Avengers. And I'm kind of with you there, too. Like, I'm not going to write this game off yet. I'm just kind of like, my reaction to this whole thing was, cool story. Can't wait to see the game. And then I'll make some decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it's we've got lots of time.
We didn't see enough. SSJ100 Matt in chat says, I don't hate the designs at all, and I understood from the get-go that this was not going to be MCU-related. But I think when you combine gamers and comic fans, both hate everything, and the fact that Endgame is so fresh in everyone's mind that folks are upset. People will get over the designs when the game comes out and it's good. And that's, yeah, let the game do the talking. If the game is really good, let the game do the talking, because I feel like a lot of that was just justifying this isn't the Avengers you're used to. It's going to be our version, and our version's super cool because we got Nolan North. And okay, I'm sure it's let the game do the talking. You know, you could have who I'm trying to think of like really terrible voice actors that you could have Lance Bass,
Gilbert Gottfried,
and Mandy Moore. You could have Gilbert Gottfried voicing Black Widow. And if the game is really good, it won't matter. You know what I mean? So that's all I'm saying. And no disrespect to those fine, talented voice actors. They were doing a good job at doing what they were asked to do. I just wish that Square had taken a different approach to how they announced and unveiled that. SSJ100 Matt suggests Danny DeVito as Hulk. Danny DeVito is everything. Come on. Come on.
Yes.
All right. What else is Square Enix?
That was it. Yep.
All right. Well, then let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Ubisoft and what Ubisoft talked about.
I didn't watch this whole thing because there's a lot of the games I just really don't care about. But
I didn't see any of it because I was working.
So I did check out a bit of it. So I watched the Watchdog Legion stuff, which looks pretty neat. So the kind of the hook with Watchdog Legion, it's going to take place in London, and you can recruit a bunch of different characters, pretty much anybody in the world. So you'll be able to, you know, they were showing this grandma who was like an assassin type person, and a bunch of other, you know, hacker types that you could get. And, you know, one guy might be, you know, an expert at drones or something. And so you do research on them, and then you can recruit them in, or they can get killed. And it's really neat that you have like this big crew that you kind of, work together on, taking back London. So that's coming out March.
I did like that they're kind of like evolving the series as opposed to like the same old type of formula in a new city or something like that.
Yeah.
I like that they're like, well, how can we make this a little different? Oh, hack the planet, literally. You know, that would be something different.
Yeah,
the grandma thing was great.
It does look interesting. So I do want to play it. Hopefully I will finish this one. I haven't played the first one. I have it. And I haven't finished the second one.
Ubisoft will honestly probably give the first one away, maybe even the second one, when this one's about to come out, just to try to build.
Yeah,
life.
Probably PlayStation Plus.
Companies do that a lot. Yeah, PlayStation.
But
Plus.
I've still got the disc somewhere. I've like not played it at all. But the second one's a great game, so I will have to get around to it.
Nifty 805 says, "Can I take back London as Kylie Minogue?"
Maybe
you know they can't use the Spice Girls. But I bet you they could have a pop superstar group that you could possess and take over with your dance moves. Let's put another girl through her paces. Yeah.
That sounds pretty wrong when you say it like that.
I was quoting
this, something
quoting
like
Spice
a pimp,
World game.
That's like,
PS1.
That's like something a pimp would say. And,
oh,
you know.
Lord.
Anyways.
You had to go there.
So because everybody has to have their own subscription service, Ubisoft has Uplay Plus, which you can subscribe to for about $15 a month, and it's going to be a PC-only service, and they're going to have, I guess, early access that's going to – free access before – if you sign up before August 15th, you'll get free access from the 3rd of September to the end of September, and then they have access to over 100 PC games. Early and beta access to new launch titles, and also with DLC and expansions being included with that, too.
Well, there's room for everybody. How about we just say that? That was kind of how I felt.
And
I'm worried because when it comes to the game subscription service thing, everybody wants to do their version of it now because they saw what happened with movies, how Netflix and somewhat Hulu really got to dominate that conversation early on. And now everybody like CBS, like even Disney Plus to an extent, has to catch up. Although we all know Disney Plus is not going to have a problem catching up. But, you know, we have to see all these other – now, didn't NBC announce they're going to do their own thing now too?
I don't know. But but this is only PC, so I'm kind of fine with that because Ubisoft games are part of like the Xbox Game Pass stuff. So it's kind of okay. Then they've got Rainbow Six Quarantine, which is going to be a new co-op game with zombies. Hooray. That's coming out in 2020. They showed off some stuff for Assassin's Creed Odyssey, this new mode called Story Creator Mode, which will allow you to create your own quests and share them with other players. So neat.
That's a way to kind of get more life out of the game when they're not doing another Assassin's Creed this year. They're taking the year off, which is okay, honestly. It's okay to not do one every single year.
They showed off a Ghost Recon Breakpoint. So that's going to have a new beta that's going to be along with the game when it pre-orders. And they're going to kick off.
Those games are money.
Yep. September 5th. And then apparently there's going to be Tom Clancy's Elite Squad, which is a mobile game. They're doing a Division movie on Netflix. And then this is something that's kind of interesting. Roller Champions, which is a brand new free-to-play multiplayer game. It's a kind of roller derby, or like they say, like a cross between rugby and roller derby.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. I'll give a quick shout out actually to one of our listeners, Dark Tetsuya, who actually had submitted a YouTube of him playing this for a potential midpoint break for tonight's show. The one of the reasons I couldn't use it was because it has a lot of copyright music in it, and I was worried it was a little loud in his video, and I was like, we might get Twitch muted if I use this. But I think he put it up on YouTube, and Dr. Tetsuya, you can feel free to link it here now, but you should check out his gameplay video if you're curious for more on that, because I'm kind of curious to check this out. I like the roller blade type of games.
And then other gaming stuff, they also had Gods and Monsters, which kind of looks like it's like a Zelda type game, but with Greek mythology. And so that's kind of neat.
That looked cool.
They also had a new mode and customization for Honor. So it's this mode called Soul Rush. And they also shot off yet another TV series, Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, which is being done by the folks behind It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So it's about...
So Danny DeVito might actually be
involved. I don't know if he's going to be in it, but was it Rob McElhenney? He basically... Him, Charlie Day, and they said Megan Gans. So I know him and Charlie Day are in It's Always Sunny. It's supposed to be about a game development studio and just kind of... The stuff that goes on there. And so basically he plays this guy named Grimm.
Can you imagine? And it's always, oh my God, this actually, now I'm like more hyped about this than when
so,
I first heard
but
of it.
Here's the thing though. It's only on Apple's TV Plus service or whatever they've got their like stupid subscription service.
Hey,
I'm going to probably
get it.
Just like I said, everybody's got their own subscription service now and it's making it difficult as a consumer.
Well, that
this isn't just an Apple problem. It's an NBC problem. It's a CBS All Access problem. It's everybody wants a piece of the pie.
And of course,
now gaming's doing it too.
Because it is another year, so you have another year of Just Dance. Just Dance 2020 also coming to the Wii.
I think people made way too big of a deal out of the fact that it's still coming out to the Wii. I mean,
who cares?
Let's be real. It's not that complicated. And everybody, by the way, did you notice how people were saying, oh, I guess none for the Wii U, huh? The Wii U plays Wii games. By releasing it for the Wii, they are, in fact, releasing it for the Wii U. Food for thought. But it doesn't matter. You guys that are going to the extent to listen to a podcast about video games, we're never going to buy this game on the Wii anyway. You're buying it on whatever – well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe. But you're going to buy it on whatever other current platform you're gaming on, or PC probably.
Or Stadia.
The Wii is for those multitude of retirement homes and community centers that still use these games a lot to get people up and moving. Like, don't underestimate the casuals when it comes to Just Dance.
Don't underestimate the power of the casual.
That's right. Don't underestimate the power of the casual. So
that's it.
You didn't mention, somebody in chat mentioned it, but when you talked about like shows, you didn't mention the Division movie.
I did mention it. I mentioned that first.
Oh, I guess I just blanked out.
Yes, they're getting a movie.
My bad. Yeah.
Coming to Netflix.
Okay. All right. So, yes, there's Jake Gyllenhaal and who was in it? The redhead, Jessica Chastain, right?
I don't know. But
she's the one that's
that sounds interesting, more so than the TV show. But I do want to see the TV show because I like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Ooh, great comment on Just Dance by Questbuster in our chat room saying, the Wii is also used in hospitals as a rehab option for some patients like kids. Well, that'll make you feel like garbage for making fun of the fact that game's coming out for the Wii.
Yeah, you're making fun of sick kids now.
Yeah.
Piece of trash.
Think twice before you tweet. All right, anyway. No, but in all seriousness.
I mean, aren't the kids sick enough and you're making them play like a decade-old console? I mean, come on.
In all seriousness, it is very cool that, you know, if they're able to put the game on the Wii, hey, they're still supporting it because there is situations like that. And maybe they're not the majority of cases, but, you know, it's enough.
They wouldn't put it on that console if it wasn't selling.
Exactly. Exactly that. So. And Mistake Theory also points out it's also still carried in libraries. A lot of libraries still only have Wii games and no other consoles. I don't know if this joke is wrong or not, but I love a good pun. So Sia Tabiri says, Wehab. Why not? Why not?
Works for me.
It works for me. I love a good pun. Why not?
Love a good pun when I was saying them the other week.
Well, because yours aren't good. All right. Moving on. Your favorite event every E3, right, Loki? The PC gaming show.
Oh, yes. It's so amazing. I don't really give a shit. But we can just really quickly go over some of the stuff that they did talk about. Some of the titles that they showed off. Age of Wonders, Planetfall. I don't know what the hell that's about. Auto Chess. Has nothing to do with cars.
Maybe instead they announced a lot of games. Maybe we just want to touch on some of the highlights.
I am Chivalry 2. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Chivalry is a pretty good game.
This Chris Tales looks interesting. This is supposed to kind of go along like a big time travel aspect. So that looks interesting.
Yeah, these time travel and time loop types of games are all the rage. I know you weren't here last week, and I doubt you watched the Microsoft thing very carefully, but there was a really cool-looking narrative game by Annapurna that I was a big fan of called 12 Minutes that's about, like, a time loop type of situation. And it looked – I would really urge you to look at the trailer for that game because it looked really cool. And I think you'd be into it, even if it's a – probably multi-platform. Probably not just Microsoft. Yeah.
They showed off more footage for Last Oasis. That's the one about, I remember it's something that has to do with like a planet being you can't inhabit it because it's just basically too hot. Mm-hmm. And so there's only this strip down the middle that basically they can survive on. And they've got these rolling wooden machines and stuff. It looks pretty awesome. So that's something they showed off. Midnight Ghost Hunt. That one looks pretty cool. And so basically you have to hunt ghosts.
You don't say.
Yes. If I remember correctly, there was one I saw. I don't know if it's the same. Maybe it was a different indie game that was ghost hunting. But there was one I saw that was like 4-1. And you get as the ghost, you actually get to possess objects and throw them at other players and knock them down and stuff. It's kind of like prop hunt, but a little different.
Hey, real quick question from Frodo Swaggins in our chat. And maybe you have the answer to this, Loki. I don't know. But can someone explain to me what that auto chess game is? I keep seeing advertisements for it everywhere, but I don't see any good feedback. And I must admit, I'm not up and up on the auto chess myself. Did you catch a little more on what that's all about?
No idea. It's they said it's a part of one of the Epic Store games that they're going to have. And it's, honestly, it looks like just this really fancy chess game. I guess it looks like it's, I don't know, like battle chess?
Okay, so I'm looking up some more info online just so we can get familiar with it. And where sometimes the hosts fail, the listeners are there to save the day as well, and I'll get some.
You have to understand that your question is outweighing my interest in the game.
Well, here's what it's all about. So there's a mod for Dota called Dota Auto Chess. And you can do eight players that play a modified version of chess, but it uses characters and gameplay elements from Dota 2. And apparently this is really popular in Dota, which is probably why I missed it, because I've played probably like 95% Heroes of the Storm, 5% League of Legends, and I just don't really play any Dota anymore. But maybe I should be. I don't know. But apparently now this is – so and this is really funny because Dota exists – Dota 2 exists because it was a Warcraft 3 mod. Spun off, now we have Dota. So now this auto chess mod is so popular, it's spinning off into its own game, auto chess. That's what's happening here. So, and then our listeners here, Questbuster says, one note on auto chess, apparently it's also responsible for pushing Valve to make Dota Underlords and Riot Games do the same auto chess-like game. I had no idea what it was either. It sounds like a MOBA. You create teams from a pool of characters, then set them to auto battle. But unlike a MOBA, you don't control everything during a fight. You pretty much just let the teams go at it and hope your strategic picks win the day. Interesting.
So it's like tabs, but with Dota characters.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to know more about it, Dota 2 is a free game. You know, they make their money off selling the heroes and that other stuff. So go check it out. You have the ability to check out this mod, and it'll help.
Planet Zoo. It's a new game from the folks that did Planet Coaster, except now you're creating a zoo.
Oh, yeah, that looked cute.
Why can't you just create both in one, you know, like a Marine World or Animal Kingdom?
Hippopotamus on a roller coaster.
It's like have animals over here and your roller coasters. Have it both, you know. I guess we can't mix games, you know.
But I did see the zoo game. That looked pretty awesome.
Shenmue 3. This game, Telling Lies, it looked kind of...
Wait. Back it up. You zip past the Shenmue 3 thing. Like, the biggest thing that everybody's talking about from this conference was the Shenmue 3 thing. Do you know what they said about Shenmue 3?
What did they say about
it? It is going to be exclusive to the Epic Game Store.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For 12 months. That's right. And so even if you did a Kickstarter backing for the game...
Well, that'll teach you.
...with the understanding that you would be getting a Steam copy as they were advertising on Kickstarter at the time, you're going to be getting it for the Epic Store instead. Lucky you. Yeah, so this has a lot of people not happy. I wonder if it's going to escalate to a point with Kickstarter. I don't know. It's see, here's the thing. I don't have as much of a, like... resistance against the Epic Store. I use Epic and I use Steam. I use a few others too. So for me, I'm not so bothered, but I also understand if a person doesn't want to have an Epic account, they have every right not to have one. Actually, I should say this. You know what? I will say this. I believe my Epic account was hacked. I'm getting all these friend requests from people I don't freaking know. And they connected my PlayStation, or they connected the account to a PlayStation account I never heard of. And so I had to unconnect it. And now the fucking Epic Store won't let me reconnect it with my Riot account. In fact, I should check on my ticket because I sent a help ticket to try to get that fixed. But I was like, did somebody get into my Epic account? Because I may have used the same password I used somewhere else. And the other – you know how that happens. When one of those sites gets hacked and all the they try to use those username passwords other places. And it probably worked for somebody on my Epic Store thing. I have since changed the password on Epic Store, and I believe – if they have two-factor auth, I turned it on as well, which I think they do. So I turned that on. I've been really – like I've just been trying to turn on two-factor auth like everywhere I can because I get emails all the time on my Microsoft account. Someone keeps trying to get into my freaking Microsoft account. Thank God I have two-factor auth. Anyway. So anyway, sorry, tangent. But it just goes to show that, like, you know, if somebody doesn't want to have an Epic Store account, I can't say I blame them at this juncture.
Terraria's Journey's End. It's a brand new expansion. They said that has a ton of content in it. So that looks... I was unaware they're still, you know, adding expansions to that. So that's pretty cool. Volferis looks pretty cool. It's a run and gun game similar to Contra. And then, of course, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. They showed another trailer for that.
It looked interesting. It looked pretty good, actually. But I didn't like first person. If they give you, like, a character view, I would be down for it.
They have an expansion for Warframe coming out. I think it's Emprine. And let's see what else. Zombie Army 4 Dead War. That sounds very generic. And it has zombies. And it looks like they have Zombie Hitler. Of course they do.
Just a quick. I was looking at my phone because I wanted to see if Epic had responded to the ticket I sent them, and no response yet. But to be fair, it's the weekend, so we'll give them.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens tomorrow.
So that's all.
All right. So the PC gaming show. No, probably the only big like thud was the whole Shenmue 3 thing, but I don't know if there was a lot of like what had people.
There was another game just recently that was a Kickstarter that was also an issue too. I don't remember which game what it was now, but there was another one. It was also a Kickstarter game.
It wasn't Bloodstained.
It wasn't Bloodstained. It was it may have been a smaller title. I don't remember, but I know we just talked about something very similar.
You're right. I remember this coming up too.
And it's just I understand it's the allure of getting more money, you know, for you have a larger margin there, but
sure.
The same time, you know, maybe you pick that for your next game and not this one. I don't know. But maybe you shouldn't back, you know,
it is making the desire to back Kickstarters harder and harder. And I don't know if some of these companies realize how much they're, like, shitting in the tank to screw it up for everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, just, it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate.
All right.
So that's it for the PC gaming event. So, now, I did not realize Konami was doing a thing this year because I remember the year that Konami had that clusterfuck of a press conference.
Oh, yes.
That just all the lols. That was the year they announced 99 Nights 2, and the guy was like, applause, applause. Nobody was applauding. It's great. Go look it up on YouTube. What year was that? We were at E3 that year. We just
that was Rock Revolution year, too.
I thought that was the year they showed off the Dance Connect.
Yeah, Dance Evolution and Rock Revolution were coming out the same year.
God, what year was that? Do y'all remember? 2010, says Orange Right. Seriously, y'all, go look up the YouTube Konami press conference 2010. Oh, my God, the lols. Anyway, but Konami did something a lot different this year. It wasn't funny. It was just one big announcement, right?
Yeah, so they talked since they own you know, Hudson Soft, they basically announced that a TurboGrafx-16 Mini, PC Engine Core Graphics Mini, and PC Engine Mini were going to be coming out.
I'm getting them both.
And so, of course, those are the three different consoles we're in the different regions.
Hold up. I'm surprised to hear this from you, Dark Sakura, because usually you're the type that says, I already own it.
Well, I do, however, each of them come with different games, and I don't think I have Super Star Soldier, and I would like to play a version of Dracula X where I don't have to use my disc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep it preserved. And I've been like, it's not worth it, it's not worth it, it's not worth it. But the addition of Super Star Soldier is kind of a big one for me. And we are going to get the TurboGrafx Mini because it's got some good stuff on it. I mean, Eastbook 1 and 2, we've got the CDs for those. I mean, we're talking about we've talked about CD games on these two. And also, I'd like to play R-Type without, because R-Type for PC Engine is really good. I was tired of switching out Hue cards because they were two Hue cards. So it'd be nice to have it all as one game. Like, and I think it's going to be like the CD version because the CD version was one. So.
So they've got basically your usual features that would go to the mini console. So quick saving. They've got the different display modes that emulate CRT TVs and stuff like that. What's kind of neat is they're going to have a multi-tap support. So it will support up to 5 players. Assuming
we'll support a legit multi-tap.
But you have to buy a multi-tap separately. So for the North American European regions, you're going to be getting Alien Crush, Dungeon Explorer, New Adventure Island, Ninja Spirit, R-Type, Eastbook 1 and 2, and more titles to be announced later. And then, of course, in Japan, Bonk, Castlevania Rondo of Blood, China Warrior, Dungeon Explorer, Super Star Soldier, Eastbook 1 and 2, and more to be announced later on.
Why did they call it Castlevania? It was Dracula X. It's in the Castlevania series, but it was called Dracula X.
It could also be a liberty on the part of the reporter who's trying to get people to connect it. But I guess.
Well, to that, it's, I think, well, let me see. I'm just.
Even the SNES version they released in the U.S. was Dracula X.
That's right. You're right. Yeah. There was I keep thinking of Castlevania 5. That was a different thing, yeah.
But, and honestly enough, though, I mean, I'm a little disappointed to see that they're not bothering to translate it for the U.S. one since there's already a translation. But
And now we know that old games will be translated when the time's right. Like, again, the Trials of Mana thing, go back to, it's pretty amazing.
But there was the Castlevania Chronicles, so it's already translated. Yeah. But there is a Rondo of Blood fan translation out, too. So, with voice acting.
Well, I tried to get into their website, but it sucks ass because, you know, they want you to enter your birth date, and then it goes back to the same goddamn page again.
Well, forget it.
So,
it's
fuck them.
All right. So, it sounds like yet another mini console, but it sounds like they're, you know, especially with the games being a little more obscure for some, hard to get collectibles.
I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get Bonk over here, though.
It is a little weird.
I mean, the game. I mean, I have a feeling Bonk, because they said there's more to be announced. I think That's Bonk true. Is going to be among them.
Yeah, they probably just haven't announced everything yet.
But I mean, the games that are on there, like, I would expect for either one of these to eventually get like Lords of Thunder. Because that was a big one. I don't see any Keith Courage in the Alpha Zones, you know, because that was...
That was the pack-in, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't see anything... Oh, what were some of the other big ones? I would imagine, though, the Japanese one to be really shooter-heavy, because the PC Engine was really shooter-heavy. But, like, if it's Konami, why don't we get Gradius 2? I expect to at least see that one on the Japanese version. Because, you know, we didn't get Gradius 2 until it came out in a pack.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, that's pretty much the end of E3. The end. But what did you guys think overall this year of E3? I mean, it was kind of a weird year with Sony not being there and, you know, us knowing that we have new consoles next year. I've kind of been saying it's a lame duck year, you know, when you know it's kind of like the last year, the current iteration.
I think it was still good. We still have, now, remember, we still have more announcements coming with Gamescom in like a month or so. So, I mean, I'm kind of okay that Sony wasn't there. I still think there's good games that they announced. There's stuff to look forward to towards the end of the year. I'm glad it's not a million games coming out like in the fourth quarter. So,
well, now it's a million games in March.
Well, it's all over the place. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. And March is right around. We get, you know, that's payday and tax return time. So, smart. But I don't know. I'm fine with the way it is. There wasn't anything like really shocking that came out of it. I think it's just kind of running the course.
Act Deft in chat says it was an average year. It wasn't bad. It was quite good, but not necessarily great.
And yeah,
I'm kind of on the same page with that. I think there were a lot of like good games. Like, obviously March of next year is going to be a very, very strong month for games. March is the new November, but that's okay. I mean, there's still a lot of games to get excited about, and that is really what it's all about at the end of the day. So
it'll be interesting once we get to March of next year to see how well Stadia is doing.
Yeah, yeah. Also, March of next year, excuse me, not March, but next E3, in television is anticipated to give a full stage conference.
Now, what did you think of the colors that they had?
They're kind of badass. Like, the one that looks like Tron is really cool, the wood grain one. Like, they're very different, unique. Like, if that's what they really look like, there's that part of me that just has that reservation of, is it really going to be that good? Like, or is it a lot of talk, you know? So I just, let's see the games. Let's see it IRL. But I'm cautiously optimistic, I think is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But let's see what some of these games look like. Because Intellivision never did put out publicly. I mean, I guess it was there at E3 and people were getting their hands on it. But for whatever reason, they're not putting out footage of the games yet. Although I did check their Twitter earlier, and I guess that is coming in July. So they do plan to put out like another teaser that will have some of the early gameplay footage. And then next year at E3, they're going to have a full E3 press event. So that'll be interesting. I'm just kind of curious how that is going to change the dynamic potentially with the family console coming into mix.
And then I heard that VCS console, the Atari one, still being redesigned again. That it's kind of going back to the drawing board.
Atari needs to do something to grab my attention at this point, because I done forgot that that was even a thing. So.
Yeah, it's basically like a computer now, a computer box type
thing. Yeah, cool, but I'm not really seeing why I need to pay attention to it right now.
Yeah.
That's my honest feedback for Atari. So, all right. Well, usually at the top of the show, it was a little bit of a special week because we were talking about E3 and everything that happened with E3 this week. But usually at the top of the show, we like to talk about the types of video games that we've been playing this week. So let's talk about our gaming weeks and how was your gaming week and what types of video games have you been playing this week? Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was really just, you know, the usual for me. It was Animal Crossing Pocket Camp and I guess trying to clean up and get everything that I can in it before, you know, I move on to something else. Dan and I have been watching this Zelda marathon that's trying to raise some money for something. They have a guy with a melodica and a guy with a accordion playing during some of those, and a couple people singing is actually pretty cute. When I left the house this morning, they were on Spirit Track, so it gave me a chance to check out a game I hadn't played. I'm still doing idle pouring. I know I don't mention it anymore. I'm still debating quitting it. Dan and I have been working on trying to get the setup done, but we're redoing our office. So there hasn't really been a whole lot going on because we've been in the middle of just reorganizing the house. And then with all the Pride events and everything, it's been kind of taking precedence over any other type of gaming. But I did dig out the Steam Link. See if we can get that hooked up.
Cool. Anything else?
Uh-oh.
All right. We'll move
on. Oh, yeah, well, Pokemon Go.
Duh. I guess a lot of people have been doing it. I guess there are the shiny amount went way up over this past couple days because of the Pokemon Go Fest, which sadly I wasn't – obviously none of us were there. We would have probably talked about it already. But I heard it was a lot of fun for those that went, except Saturday, the day that got canceled because of weather. But I guess the trade-off is that if you had a ticket for Saturday – then you next week will see all of the Pokemon Go Fest Pokemon on your phone wherever you're at. So it's interesting that Niantic has that technology within the game. It's almost like they could just not even do an event in Chicago. They could just say, pay $10 to attend the worldwide festival and you'll see the Pokemon wherever you're at in the world. Be kind of.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the whole pay-to-win element of it, but it would be an interesting. I sit here and talk.
Give the money to a charity, then it makes it, you know.
Actually, yes, it lessens it a lot if you do that. But anyway, I digress. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play anything. Sorry. No, I did. I played a little bit of Pokemon Go. I found that because I had submitted a portal for a location, but it hasn't been denied or accepted yet because I guess it takes several months.
Limbo.
But right down from where I had requested a portal, which I think is more of a landmark than what they picked this stupid information kiosk and put that as a portal now.
Well, what are you gonna new stop new
yeah it's right portal. Across like literally within distance of the Starbucks that's there. But if they put that as one, then I think what I submitted should be good. But yeah, no way, it takes time, it's fine.
Where Starbucks is that in the shopping center with the Vietnam Memorial?
No.
Okay.
It's the shopping center by my work where I take my kid.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, we don't want to give away everything, but
yes.
The one that I was mentioning is like an enemy players. They're very clearly want it for some reason, and they bump it a lot. So anyway, that's why I was like, did they get a new portal there? Because that's a problem.
Right. No, but there's new stores going in over there, so they may try
Joy.
To.
All right.
It's like
anyway.
Juice bar, you know.
So. Anyway, yes.
But I did work on programming a little bit for a couple hours, so I did that, and I posted a funny little video on Twitter. I meant to play stuff this week. Actually, I meant to play stuff earlier this afternoon. I purchased and downloaded the Lego expansion for Forza Horizon 4, and it looks amazing. But I had a killer migraine earlier this afternoon, so. Instead of playing the game, because my kids were being very loud and obnoxious, I decided to lay in a dark room with my head on a pillow waiting for the pain to go away. So that's what I did instead. But I intend to play that, and I've got, you know, my wife's going to be out of town this week, so that means I can stream possibly later at night. So I may end up streaming some Forza Horizon 4 with the LEGO DLC stuff because it looks amazing. Like, yeah. Absolutely. Like, that needs to be a full... They just need to make a full game of that.
Well, you know, Bobby was just talking about it on his show, because I guess he played it, and he says, I see why they didn't make it a full game. I guess there are parts that aren't quite as filled out as others, but...
But yeah. They should fill it out.
Okay. Anyway, let me talk about my gaming week. So I did make an effort to try to play some games that I haven't played yet. Now, not to say I didn't play my normal stuff, because I still play Diablo 3. I just got my silver season badge unlocked because I beat a set dungeon was the last thing I needed. So now I'm working on my gold badge. So there's that. I'm up to Paragon 180, so I'm doing pretty good. Usually you have to be a little bit further before you get silver, but I'm doing pretty good. And then, of course, continuing to play Final Fantasy 14, gearing up for the expansion. I'm trying to get my Machinist to level 70 because those abilities with the new Machinist in, I keep wanting to say Stormblood, but that's the current expansion, Shadowbringers, I'm really excited about being able to use some of those newer abilities. So, yeah, I want to get my Machinist to 70. So that's the stuff I've been playing. Now, some new stuff. I went back to Beat Saber, but the reason why is because they released a pack for Beat Saber that is 10 Imagine Dragons songs. That's right, the band Imagine Dragons, they put their songs in Beat Saber, which I have to admit, at first I was a little bit like, this is weird, because that's not the usual type of song that you have in Beat Saber, but I think that's the point. They want to put different types of songs into Beat Saber. Keep in mind, I don't play on the PC, where I understand the game has been modded to hell and every song you can think of is in it, but I kind of agree with Bobby on this. The modding community, most of the time, not all the time, wants to just flex their peen on how difficult can we make these songs, and that's not fun for me. Fun for some of you Beat Saber experts, those of us that can't move that fast, it's just not as fun. Like, I'll watch other people do it. Neat.
I agree. It's like the DDR songs. Community. Yes. It's basically, this is why, you know.
It is the DDR thing all over again.
It's why In the Groove was so hard. It's why the new songs that seem to come out from Konami on the new DDR games are so goddamn hard. Is because that's where a lot of players want to play. But sometimes, you know, it's just fun just to play a song.
It's sometimes fun when the hand waves go with the drum beat and you can almost like freestyle a little
bit. Oh, yes,
bit.
That's right. I did play DDR this week in a 111 degree garage and I regretted it immediately.
Why did you do that? That was dumb.
And I streamed it though, so, you know.
Anyway, so yeah, Metal Mayhem in chat says, Imagine Dragons has 9 songs above and beyond Radioactive. That was kind of my first thing, too. And that song in particular, Radioactive, is just, it's been played to death on the radio. And let me tell you what really bugs me about that song. Not to shit on Imagine Dragons, because actually they've done a lot of like wonderful, awesome things for the LGBTQ community. So I give them a big thumbs up. They are very actively involved with that, because I guess the guy is a Mormon, was a Mormon, and has worked a lot with like Mormons and the coming out thing. So I, you know, thumbs up to you, dude. I'm not going to like talk a lot of shit. But that song Radioactive, the part that bugs me is that there's some line in it that says like, I inhale the chemicals and like there's like a clip of him taking a big breath, and I'm like, oh god, that's like listening to like somebody chew their food very loudly. Like, that is like, why is that in a song? And I always like want to change the channel right when I hear that on the radio. But that song aside, some of their other songs are actually pretty good. I like that. Like, there's a song, it's the very first one, Bad Liar, I think it's called. It's like a slow song, and it's got a good hook to it, and it's like a slow jam, so it's weird to play it in Beat Saber, but I'm kind of into this. Like it does what DDR did to some of those slower songs, and it's like it invented its own beat to go with the song. And the way, like, do, 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 like, the way you kind of, like, make your own beat is kind of enhances the song a little bit. So I thought the note chart to that was a lot of fun. So that's probably my favorite song to play right now. Yeah, so I enjoyed that. Let's see. Going to our chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Dark Tetsuya says, Radioactive just reminds me of USL. Travis used to play that song all the time on his Twitch days. Oh, he did, didn't he? That's right. I think there might have been like a parody or something too. Let's see. SG100 Matt talks about music game elitists across all platforms. Yep, it happens. Bobby Blackwolf reminds us Imagine Dragons are all drummers too, so it worked a lot better. But I doubt they designed the beat charts. But sure, some of their songs probably lent themselves pretty well to the game because of that. Anyway, you sample the songs. They're obviously all over YouTube. It's all of the like Imagine Dragons singles. Go look it up on YouTube, and you'll probably, you know, make a decision if it's for you, because I think it's kind of nice. Anyway, other games I played. Trials of Mana I played quite a bit of this week. I already talked about that a little bit earlier in the show, so I won't recap too much, but I streamed probably about 2.5 hours of me playing it, and I'm having fun enjoying that game. It's kind of interesting to revisit, like, Secret of Mana, but it's not Secret of Mana. And it's, I'm having to like adjust to the Super Nintendo way of playing things, where sometimes things are a little bit clunkier and a little bit slower because battles were not 60 frames a second like they are today. So, you know, it's taking a little bit of getting used to, but otherwise I'm really enjoying.
Poor baby.
Otherwise I'm really enjoying, like, again, I am able to look at this game and go, wow, for considering the age of this game, the fact that it has like the branching storylines and the multiple beginnings of the game is kind of neat. Like, you know, you didn't see that in a lot of games back then. So that was pretty cool. And then the last game I played a bit of this week, because I bought that Xbox Ultimate Game Pass, I should probably try something with it. So I played a game called River Bond, which is like, it's like got like a voxel art style. So kind of like Minecraft art style, but it's kind of like a platformer slash you have like a sword and you have like a gun that you can shoot the other voxels with. So it's kind of like, that's a little bit of a platformer slash shooter adventure-y type of game. And it's fine. I haven't played a lot of it, but so far it's I like that you can change your main character to all these really different random things. So I've been playing as the eggplant emoji, because that's something you can play the game as, so why not? Don't shake your head at me, Dark Soccer. You know it's funny. All right.
It is pretty funny. It's a yes. An amused head shake.
Now, I will point out, because somebody tweeted me or emailed about this, I don't remember, but the next game I downloaded, I just haven't played it yet, I did download Supermarket Shriek. And I'm really excited to play that, because that is.
Oh, I do want to play that.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's, and I didn't realize, apparently that is a game that you can partially control with your voice. I didn't know that was a thing.
That's even better.
That's why it's called Supermarket Shriek. So I'm going to figure this out. Maybe I'll do a live stream. We'll see. And I'll check that out this coming week. But that's the next game on Game Pass Ultimate I'm going to take a look at.
I do want to play like some more of these games. I wish I almost had the Xbox to like play that stuff, but I don't want to get an Xbox at this point, you know, not with the next console being right around the corner.
Yeah, that's true. I understand. You kind of wait for that.
Plus, I have a PC, but like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, no, I understand. All right, moving on. Let's go back to a time. You know, every week on this show, we take a look back. And as much as we've discussed all the new stuff up to March 2020 through this year's E3, sometimes it's nice to revisit the classics in a segment we call the Classic Game of the Week. And the way the Classic Game of the Week works is that Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, this game is 10 years old or more. And
or so more.
This one's or more. This one's about 20, isn't it?
Close to it, yeah. Because it came out in November 2000.
Okay, so yeah, close to it. So this is one that you kids need to be revisiting. And I got to say, it's so funny because Dark Soccer wasn't at her computer when she was picking the game this week. So she's like, I want to do this game. I'm like, you already did that one.
And I was going obscure too.
Yeah, you already did that one. And then she picked this one and I was like, okay, she had to have done this game. And oh my God, how has Dark Soccer not done this game? This game is legendary. So let's get to it. What is the classic game of the week this week?
I picked Sin and Punishment. So basically it is a rail shooter slash shooting gallery game. It was co-developed by Treasure and Nintendo. You know it's Treasure. It's gotta be freaking amazeballs. So it was published for the Nintendo 64 in 2000, and it takes place in the dystopian 2007 because famine and shit. But at any rate, basically, scientists have created a new species to raise as food. But, of course, there's things science shouldn't do. The species all, you know, mutate and go back and everything. So it has... the game is actually a unique one. Basically, it is... you have two players, Saki and Iron. But it uses a different layout for the Nintendo 64 controller. So it uses both the D-pad and the control stick. And it lets you strafe, jump, and dodge on the screen while aiming your target. So you have to shoot at enemies and projectiles while dodging the attacks to progress through the game. So at any rate... this particular game had some of the longest development time for a game of its time. It started in 1997 with only 4 people on staff. And basically it concluded in 2000 with more people that were involved in any of other Treasure's previous projects. And it wanted to develop Sin and Punishment with the design of the Nintendo 64 controller in mind, but they wanted to make a game where you hold the left side of the controller instead of the right side of the controller, which was average for most games. So they had some difficulty programming the game, the 3D rendering of the machine, and trying to adapt 2D gameplay into the 3D environment was kind of weird. And the game was originally called Glass Soldier, but Nintendo renamed it to Sin and Punishment because they wanted to have a name that would stand out. It was released to pretty positive reviews. It was definitely lauded for its high intensity and flashy graphics for its time. And then a few even pointed out that Treasure has this amazing ability to reduce their polygon count to maintain smooth gameplay, but keeping the graphics stylish, quote, quote, quote. Anyway, it was never released in the West, and it did get a pretty big following among import gamers. This is one that I never actually imported, but we had talked about. And eventually people really started demanding it for the Virtual Console. So finally we had a Western release in 2007 for the Virtual Console. And it is considered one of the best Nintendo 64 games ever. And it also was ported to the IQ player in China. You know what the IQ is, right?
Not the Intelligent Cube.
Okay, it's IQUE. So in China, they had passed a law that made video game consoles illegal. So the IQ was released as sort of a handheld unit. It wasn't a console. And it came with different Nintendo 64 games that you could download through a service. Or, you know, a few of them came pre-installed. So it's basically a handheld Nintendo 64. So anyway, it did have a sequel for the Wii in 2009 called Sin and Punishment Star Successor. At any rate, it got great reviews all over the world and was even reviewed by Western gaming magazines at the time. Like IGN just said it was, you know, and I'm going to use a quote, a tour de force of arcade-style shooting action. And, of course, Treasure has always been lauded for their you know, just massively wonderful games. Eurogamer gave it a score of 9 out of 10. Famitsu said 35 out of 40, which is pretty good for Famitsu. But, yeah, it got just really high ratings all over the place. Retrogamer, which is a magazine that I was collecting for a little while. I like that when you had on the cover, it have, you know, where it always says new, there said old. We have a bunch of retro gamers. But it listed Sin and Punishment on toward the top of their list in the top 10 Nintendo 64 games with its intensity and the level of sophistication in their graphics. It's one of the... listed as one of the best games among shooting gallery games, along with Wild Guns from 1994. There was a novelization of the game that was released in Japan, and a comic that was printed in Dengeki Daio magazine, where Saki was... I was skipping on a bit. The character Saki appeared as an assist trophy in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And... and then, of course, there was the sequel for Wii in 2009, Sin and Punishment Star Successor. So the Japanese name is... hold on, I'm misreading that. It says... they mispronounce this. Hoshito Keishosha. So Sin and Punishment. So there you go. That's it.
All right, your classic game of the week, Sin and Punishment.
No, I'm sorry, I had the name wrong. Tsumitobatsu, and it was Hoshino Keishosha. So the thing about this is that they changed Chikyu to Hoshi because it's a different reading for the same kanji. So it was a big thing because it was called Earth Successor, but they changed the pronunciation of it. So anyway, I was misreading it because I knew that wasn't the words.
No worries, but what a great, you know, again, what we're looking at here. I think what we actually pulled the video from here for Twitch, for those of you that are watching along tonight, I think this is actually, like, on the Wii playing the N64 version of it. So I don't know if they enhanced it at all, but for an N64 game, this looks great. You know, you have to remember this is like a 20-year-old game, and this was.
I actually do believe it looked this good on Nintendo 64.
I remember it being a good-looking game.
It has been a long time.
Star Successor was even better, which is funny because let me go back to the studio shot here. But I remember when Sin and Punishment Star Successor was announced, and you like were really excited about that. Obviously, I kind of hope they do another one. I mean, if we're gonna go revisit Panzer Dragoon, why not a Sin and Punishment 3? I think that would be pretty awesome. Just might be hard to get the band back together to do it, but the Switch is doing well enough, it might necessitate it, right?
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe it'll be included with the Nintendo 64 Classic Edition whenever they do that.
We never lose hope.
We need more joy from Treasure anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Treasure is happiness.
All right, well, we're going to get to our next segment here in a moment, but since we are coming to a studio break here while we do this prior recorded segment, Dark Soccer, I know you have to leave us a little early tonight because you have a work obligation really early in the morning.
Oh, fucking A.
Yeah, sorry to hear
that. Basically, I've got training at work on Monday and Tuesday, which requires me to be up at 5:30 in the morning.
Which is funny because I'm a trainer, and I'm like, there's no way in hell I'd have class that early, but your company's
class
different
than
mine.
Class starts at 7.
Oh. Yeah, but you got to
I have to get up.
Yeah.
Because it takes me about an hour to get ready. I mean, I can push it and get up at 6, but I will look like, you know, the swamp monster.
You got to put your face on, beat your face. Yeah, I understand.
There's some days it's war paint.
All right. Well, before we let you go and say goodnight, Dark Sakura, first off, anything you want to say about E3 this year or something like you're really looking forward to? And then just any last thoughts for our listeners
Animal
tonight?
Crossing, bitches. Aminals Crossing Zoos makes me happy. Also, eating cinnamon buns during the show make me happy, too.
Yeah, the cinnamon rolls are great.
It's fucking IKEA. IKEA has the best.
I know. You had sent me that text, like, you want me to bring you any food from IKEA? And I was like, don't bring, like, meatballs. They're not going to hold the whole trip here.
I'm like, bitch, I'm talking cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, no, but then you were like, cinnamon rolls. I was like, ooh, things I didn't know I need until she said it.
All right. Bought two trays, so I have a tray at home.
All right, well, have a great rest of your night, Dark Soccer, and we'll see you back here in 7 days to celebrate 17 years of Orange Lounge Radio, if you can believe it, next week.
But, you know, I'm glad that it's that weekend, because I'm going to be gone for San Francisco Pride.
Oh, the next weekend, right?
Yeah, because I'm marching.
I'm going to kind of decide. I just found out, I think Bobby's going to be gone that week, and we're going to be up in Reno, because I don't want to brag, but I have VIP tickets to see Carly Rae Jepsen that Saturday. So, up in Reno. So instead of going to SF Pride, I'm going to Reno.
Girl.
But I'm going to a Carly Rae Jepsen concert, which is basically a gay pride. Come on. So I'm going to that. And then so there's a part of me that's like, why rush home from Reno to do the show? Maybe we'll – so if you're not going to be here, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how I feel.
Do you want
more time to yourself?
Or just stream? We'll see. I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in this coming week and see what we do. We could also record something in advance, like quickly or something. And
who does that anymore?
Well, I don't know. It's something you can do on Twitch. All right. Anyway.
I'll do this show myself.
4 weeks. Also, experience that.
I want everyone to pray for me. And this has nothing to do with my training, but I have finally sat down and I'm learning Logic Pro so that I can do a podcast using the soundboard in Logic Pro. So pray for me. I'm learning it. So far, I have made a really weird loop track.
Good. And then what you learn, you can come over to this show and use.
I'm still planning on working on a theme song for us.
Great.
Instead of, you know, something that doesn't sound like it's a dungeon crawler theme.
I
sent you that track though. It sounded good.
Oh, I thought you're teasing the MIDI head thing, and I'm like,
No. I'm talking about mine.
Oh no,
because remember one that I made learning GarageBand.
You were like, here, what do you think about this for an OLR intro? And I was like,
No, not that. I did another one for an OLR intro, but I did one that I sent you that sounds like it's a cave video game theme.
And I was like, I love that you're expressing your art. I'm not sure it's the right fit for a show intro. It's not peppy enough.
I need to send. I kind of want to play it at some point for people just to get some feedback. But yeah, it's I'm learning my way through that, and there's better loops available in Logic.
All right.
So.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. In the meantime, we're going to go to a prior recorded segment earlier where I sat down with some of the biggest Pokemon fans here at the Voice Geeks Network to talk a little bit about some of this news when it comes to Pokemon Generation 8. But just a quick FYI, guys, and I'm going to apologize in advance. The audio for this kind of got screwed up a little bit, and my voice is much louder than the other people's voices. So I'm really sorry about that. That was a fail on my part, not on their part, because I was using the same setup I use for game streaming, and usually I have the audio down on the game so I can talk over that. And oops, it meant – so I'm going to try to fix it for the podcast, but just so you guys know, it may sound a little off here as we air it live, and I apologize for that. But please listen to what our guests tonight have to say here about the Pokemon Gen 8 controversy. Okay, so I thought for our studio break this week, we could do something a little different. Usually I'm like playing a game or something here, and no, I'm not playing Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is what's showing behind me. But I thought, this is actually just the Nintendo Direct from a few days ago, a couple weeks, I guess, at this point. But I thought what we could do is actually talk about kind of a little bit of controversy that came up about Pokemon Generation 8 from this year's E3 announcements. And I thought, you know, to talk about this, why don't we invite on some Pokemon fans from around the Voice of Geeks Network? So I'm joined tonight by, of course, if Pokemon comes up on Orange Lounge Radio, of course, Shane's going to be here. Hi, Shane.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. And also joining Shane and I tonight, you also know from the Voice Geeks Network, from the show Game Buoy, but you might have also heard another show that this guy was on called Stabcast for same type attack bonus. Say hello to First Mate Slagkick.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. Just
good.
Ready to talk about some Pokemans.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So I guess let me try to like summarize this in a nutshell. And Shane, as usual, you can correct everything that I got wrong. Okay.
Okay, I'm ready to do.
So here's the deal is that my understanding, at least, you know, I like Pokemon, but I don't buy 17 copies of the game like you do, Shane. Here's my understanding. So there's a lot of like cool stuff about Pokemon Sword and Shield and Gen 8, and that is that, you know, you're going to have like, what is it, like random encounters mixed with encounters that you see in the wild, right? So you can
overworld encounters plus your random encounters still. So
and there's, yeah, and there's
people get what they want there.
And there's like a 3D world, which looks really cool to me. I like the way the space looked. Like, instead of, like, just a 2D map, it looked a little bit more like,
wild area.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. Yeah. So, anyway, but here's the controversial part, if y'all haven't heard yet. So, what's happening is that, of course, Pokemon kind of brands itself as the game as gotta catch 'em all, right? And at this point, now that we're 8 generations in, we're looking at over 800 Pokemon are going to exist in the universe by the time this game comes out. So, one thing that was announced is that in this game, you're only going to be able to catch Pokemon that are part of the Galar regional Dex. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's just the new Pokemon. There are some old Pokemon mixed in there, and we even see it in this Direct. We see some, you know, notable, like I saw Raichu go by a minute ago. Obviously, a Charizard's back there right now. So we know some of the old Pokemon will be back, but not all of the old Pokemon will be back. And this is causing quite a bit of controversy. So let me start with Shane. What's your angle? Well, first, did I get it right? And B, what's your angle on all this?
So, yeah, you basically got it right. What they're saying is that what they have basically curated to be the Pokemon in the Galar region, that's it. Nothing else can come in no matter what. Like, in old games like Sun and Moon, which we briefly talked about before the call started, you had your regional Dex, which is everything you can catch in Sun and Moon. And then in most games, you had a national Dex. You didn't in this one, which was fine, but because you could still bring your old Pokemon from Black and White, from Ruby Sapphire, from X and Y, all those you could still bring in at a certain point in the game. Basically, I don't remember if it was after you were done or just whenever you had access to bank. It's been a while since I played Sun and Moon because it's not that great. But in this one, you can't do that at all. So my feelings, I was torn at first. Oh, no, I wasn't torn at first. I didn't care at first. I have a living Dex in Pokemon Bank that I don't want to say I worked hard to make. It wasn't that bad, really. And I've been working on shinies for years. And not being able to bring them all over, to me personally, I don't mind it for how I play the game. But and
wait, quickly, how do you play the game? Summarize that.
So I play the game from start to finish like just by catching what's there. I don't import anything over unless I'm specifically trying to do something, like I made a team of Smeargle for Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon so I could catch shinies easier. But beyond that, it's not like I have some Pokemon that I've had for forever. I have a Pokemon from my original copy of Diamond, I think it was, that mm-hmm. I've carried over since then. So that's years and years at this point. But I don't use them in any post-game things. I use them basically for breeding if I need to. Even my beloved Oshawott, I don't bring them over. It's not, unless I'm hatching or something like that, it's not that big of a deal to me.
So you're at peace with this? You did not participate in the rabble-rabble or?
So, no, I did not participate in all the angry people mob thing. But, like, after a little bit of reflection and reading some stories, while I'm not personally affected by this, I am upset for the people that are, and I do want them to change their stance. I read a story about some guy who traded Pokemon with his friend when they were younger, and his friend got terminally ill and gave him all his Pokemon. That friend died, and now those Pokemon technically have outlived how old that person's friend was by the time that they had passed away.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow. Okay, well, a story like that makes me realize, hey, yeah. Some of these mean more to people than they do to me, and so they shouldn't like be upset about this. They should get what they want out of it.
Well, let me ask John a question too, because I definitely want to hear your take on this too, John. I know there's been a lot of. There's been a lot of rabble-rabble, as I described it, on Twitter, so far as, you know, we saw a good old change.org petition asking for Nintendo to reverse their decision on this and change this. What's your take on all this, John? How did you feel when you were, like, seeing this petition and hearing all this news?
I mean, honestly, it made me think of, you and I do a show, Reading is Fundamental, about RuPaul's Drag Race, which, mm-hmm. you know, for quite a few years now has had a lot of fans behaving badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I haven't really followed like the Pokemon. I mean, I can't say I haven't followed the Pokemon fandom. I've been, you know, on Pokemon like web forums since I was in high school and everything. But like, you know, in terms of like, you know, especially these days with like social media and everything and Reddit, like I don't really typically have a pulse on what the Pokemon fandom is like these days, but it, I mean, I kind of thought that, you know, it seemed like a decent community, but I just think people are like, I heard that people on the Nintendo Treehouse streams for completely non-Pokemon games were like just complaining about no national Pokedex.
Mm.
And so I think, like, I mean, I personally feel like there are so many Pokemon, and I definitely understand what other people, you know, I understand the other side of the argument, but for me, there's so many Pokemon, and what I always find is that, like, you know, like, I'm the type of person who typically tries to build, like, one team that I, you know, maybe not, like, consistent from the beginning, because, you know, that you catch them, you might maybe catch some later in the game or whatever, but, like, I kind of like try to look at, you know, like types and like, you know, trying to aim for one team that I like, you know, bring up to the Elite Four and the Pokemon League or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I already feel like there are so many Pokemon that I don't really get a chance to, you know, have a chance to play with or, you know, really experience. So, I mean, adding a bunch of old Pokemon in there is only going to, you know, kind of increase the temptation. Like, oh, well, I want a, you know, such and such.
I want a Pikachu and a Jigglypuff because those are the things I'm familiar with, right?
Right. Or like you said, you might have a favorite and, mm-hmm. you know, you want your favorite or you're like, oh, you know, this one has a really unique type and, you know, I want to build my team around that. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to, I hope that it's going to encourage people to, you know, give the new Pokemon a chance. What I will say, though, is I really feel like, and I mean, I don't know if this is, like, you know, pointless or, you know, worthless at this point. But, you know, I think back to the Pokemon Stadium games, and I guess the reason, you know, the reason why they originally existed was because, you know, the original games were on Game Boy and they were, you know, pixels, and it was like your way to see your Pokemon in 3D and everything. But this might not be a bad time to start looking at bringing back, if this is going to be kind of their method moving forward,
which they said it is.
Yeah. So if that's really remains true, it might not be a bad idea to have some sort of like cross-platform mobile. And cause then that way the people on Pokemon Go could still participate, have like a mobile and Switch cross-platform thing that's kind of like a Pokemon Stadium, and it could have like a little Pokemon Farm or whatever that one game was.
Like a Pokemon show-off space. Like a Pokemon show-off, yeah. Pokemon Ranch or something that you could show everything off.
Right. So you can like play with your Pokemon, and you can battle with them like in a separate, you know, situation, and then that way they could, you know, just continually update it. So,
I mean, Shane, did you want to follow up on that before I go to another question?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what Pokemon Home is supposed to be for, they've stated. It's where they're supposed to live now. The problem with that is people, I'm saying people being a little general here, a lot of players, from what I've read, and I take this same stance, it feels like it's more just like a holding area at this point. No matter what they do for Pokemon Home, it's... they're charging you to keep your Pokemon there until you can bring them in, which who knows what generation at this point you'll get to do that. And that seems like a really, really bad decision.
Okay, so my personal take on this whole thing, like, you know, I'm more of a casual Pokemon fan, obviously. And there's a part of me that's kind of like, you know, it does, when you do say, gotta catch them all, it is a little weird to be saying, we're going to release this game and you really can't catch them all. You know, and I got to admit, I think at the end of the day, I'm not going to kid myself. I'm still going to buy the game. And I honestly think a lot of people out there that are upset will probably end up buying the game anyway. Not that I'm trying to invalidate the way anybody feels or anything like that, especially with like some of the compelling stories you told, Shane, like that completely makes sense. But I do feel like when it comes down to the money, like it's not really going to change. But I do have to admit, I get a little side eye with Game Freak, because I even feel like when they introduced Pokemon Bank, they kind of set the stage as, oh, well, this is the way you're going to store all your Pokemon in the future and be able to take your Pokemon into future games, and kind of gave that impression that, like, you know, well, and then they put Pokemon Home out on top of Pokemon Bank.
Yeah, well, and just to quickly interject,
yeah.
Literally 2 weeks before this information happened, they had that big presentation where they were saying how important, or how they know how important these Pokemon that we've raised since their first games they appeared in are to us. And that's what Pokemon Home was supposed to accomplish, was being the new Pokemon Bank, so we can bring our friends over into the new games. And it seems to fly right in the face of that, what they have chosen.
Let me ask one more question, and then for time I gotta go ahead and wrap up here, but and I'll start with John on this question. But I think there's probably like a cynical part of me, especially in looking at a lot of E3 releases this year, that kind of goes, for example, the Final Fantasy VII Remake. Okay, Episode 1 is coming out on PlayStation 4, but then what comes out the very next year? The PlayStation 5. So they're going to get you to buy the Final Fantasy Remake Episode 1 all over again in preparation for Episode 2, which will probably be on the PlayStation 5. How I'm tying that to Pokemon is that this is the way that they say that Pokemon Sword and Shield is going to be, but I think inevitably there will be a Pokemon Gun, right? Or you know, we're all joking calling it Pokemon Gun, but there will be some sort of the equivalent of Yellow, the equivalent of, you know, the best of or whatever, and perhaps that will be the game that you can bring all your Pokemon into. Is that how you kind of forecast this going, John? Or do you think that, nope, this is going to just stay this way?
I mean, yeah. It's definitely possible. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've got something in the works, like whether it's that or, you know, some sort of, like I said, a Colosseum sort of thing that can like really connects with Pokemon Home. Like, I feel like there's going to be some sort of experience that, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe you can bring all your Pokemon into Pokemon Sleep and
Sleep with all your favorite Pokemon. No, I do think that's an interesting idea that's kind of come up from this discussion that I didn't think of before, is that perhaps there will be some other type of Pokemon game where the main point of that game is to showcase your existing Pokemon. Quickly, and then we'll wrap up, Shane, the same question. Do you think this gets resolved in a Pokemon Gun type of situation?
I think they're too stubborn to do that. Another quick thing to point out is this game is also removing Megas and Z Crystals. Mm-hmm. So that all those mechanics where you get new versions of Pokemon too, or awesome moves, kind of, those are gone too. And I feel like they, especially because the Japanese players, via social media at least, have now accepted the fact that they're not getting the old Pokemon because of what in interviews Game Freak has said. I think this is it. I think this is how it's going to be from now on, and they're not going to come back from it. I would hope for it differently, but I think they're done. This is their new direction, and they're sticking to it.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Well, they're waving goodbye in the direct, which means I'm running out of footage and I got to start it over here pretty soon. But while I do that, I want to wrap up here and head back to the studio live. I want to thank you both for joining me tonight for this side discussion. It was really cool and nice to talk about Pokemon with some Pokemon fans. But quickly, before we head out, do you guys have anything you want to plug? Shane, I know you're not really hosting any shows right now. Is there anything you want to plug before we head out?
No.
Okay, well, thanks for being here nonetheless. John, I know you have a show, because I've been listening to, like, the three episodes you just put out this week. So tell us a little bit about that, John.
Yeah, we're GameBuoy.org, your port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. We just did almost daily episodes about E3, so, you know, definitely lots of news out there to digest. And we actually haven't even talked about Pokemon, just because there's been so much in the gaming world.
You guys are going to need a whole episode. You're going to need a whole episode for it. Anyway, all right. Thank you guys both for joining me tonight. Let's go back to the studio live for the continuation of Orange Lounge Radio tonight.
All right. That was a fun little different type of break segment there. And Shane told me kind of like after we stopped recording that, he's like, I could have gone on for another 30 minutes about. And I'm like, I bet it wouldn't stop there.
That's too long of a break.
If only we hadn't had a podcast at one point that was all about Pokemon. But anyway, did you also catch what I did in that video, by the way? I did like the number one thing you're not supposed to do. I wore my green shirt with my green screen today.
I didn't notice it then, but I did notice that the sheen from your light during your Square Enix thing was causing parts of your face to like come out.
I'm not going to throw Bobby under the bus for that completely, but actually he was controlling the green screen on his end. It wasn't my processing, it was his. But I think because the quality dips a little bit because he's pulling a Skype image, I think it just causes, it makes it wreak a little more havoc on it. But we're learning. We're playing
with
it.
It's fine. It was fine.
It's fine. Mistakes are going to happen. It's all good. So anyway, so what do you think on all that? You're just not as big into Pokemon, right? So
I just don't really care too much that not all the Pokemon are in there, because, I mean,
you weren't going to catch them all anyway.
No.
All right.
No, I mean, I haven't even finished Let's Go, like, especially when they want you to do all the, like, challenges now where you have to become the master of all the different Pokemon. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm done.
I need to check on the cat. Why don't we start some rapid fire news here?
He's trying to tear a hole through space and time, or at least a box. Who knows? Anyways, let's talk a little bit about Star Control. So Star Control and Star Control Origins, there was a lawsuit between those developers. And, of course, now they have decided that they are settling that lawsuit.
Okay, stop. MVP. The smoosh update is more important. Do you know what it is?
No.
Do you know how we move the litter box to a covered litter box? He's using the litter box right now. We don't usually have that during OLR. So what we had to do. So Mr. Smoosh really loves to dig in the litter box a lot. And so he had a litter box that was in the bathroom, but he would kick the litter outside the box. So his dad's got sick of that, so they got him a covered litter box, but it won't fit in the bathroom. So we had to move it out here into it. So it's right on the – I guess you guys can't see it on Twitch. It's right on the other side of the wall. So when I heard the scratching, I was like, oh, he's using the scratch post out there. But then I'm like, what kind of ungodly noise is that? It's litter box.
It does sound a litter box. Yeah, because my cat does the same
now
thing.
Now that you know, it makes a lot more sense.
But she's in the garage.
It's not surprised it's not getting picked up by the mics. But yeah, I started walking over there and looked over here. And it's one of those litter boxes that he actually has to go inside because like the roof has like a little cutout. And so I looked and he's like peeking at me from up there. I'm like, oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to walk in on you, Mr. Smush. Anyway.
So, yes, they've settled. They have settled and apparently are going to be supporting each other's endeavors as well. So, very cool. I'm looking forward to more Star Control games. I used to love Star Control 2. And then we've got some news regarding Mortal Kombat 11. So, they have a brand new update that is going to be introducing new brutalities into the game as well, and also kind of leading the way for some of the DLC. But yeah, so interesting that they had like apparently there's a brutality for Cabal in the game where he scares the soul out of the player.
That's a throwback to the classic from 3.
Yeah. They have a ton of different patch notes in here, but if you want to check it out, I'm sure they've got it on Mortal Kombat's site. But yes, lots of updates and, you know, balancing and stuff like that. So, cool. Not really a big Mortal Kombat fan, but I am a fan of Spawn, so I'll have to check that out when they have him playable and see what that's all about. Don't think it'll get me to buy the game, though.
All right, yeah, Alan's been playing a lot of Mortal Kombat 11, but y'all know, I don't know, sometimes I'll kind of watch over, but you know, he does some weird thing. Maybe you guys know more about this than I do, but like, he leaves it running. Like let's say we go out for food or something. He'll bring up Mortal Kombat 11 and he goes into the AI mode and he has the AI battle each other and he leaves that running while we go out for food because I guess it's generating coins for the crypt or something doing that. I didn't know that was a thing you could do, but that's... I guess I don't know if it's an exploit or what you'd call that, but you'd think if it was unintended, they would have patched it out of the game by now, I think. But I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. So
neat. Anyway.
All right. let's move on and talk about some other quick stories. So last week we had the Microsoft press conference and y'all know I was very excited about Phantasy Star Online 2. And some people were a little bit like, I don't want to get an Xbox and my PC isn't good enough to play Phantasy Star Online 2. Am I just screwed? And at the time, it seemed like the answer was yes. However, apparently, Xbox boss Phil Spencer confirmed to Giant Bomb in an interview that Phantasy Star Online 2 will end up on all platforms. Doesn't say necessarily it'll be at the exact same time, but that they do plan to put PSO2
well,
out
at least,
on all platforms.
Yeah, at least they... I don't know. At least he brought that up. He didn't have to do that. So.
Yeah, no, he didn't have to. And again, that's kind of one of those things where, like, Phil Spencer's a cool dad. You know what I mean? Which, by the way, happy Father's Day, Loki. I forgot to say that at the top of the show.
Thank you.
It was up here, and then I totally forgot to say anything. We got derailed. So happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
To you and Phil Spencer. All right.
It was just like any other day, full of screaming, whining children and then migraines.
They didn't do anything nice for you today?
If by giving me a migraine was nice, then no.
Loki, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's
okay.
Whatever. I mean, my one son, he made me a little like dish thing. I don't really know what it is, but and then my other son, he made something for me, but he left it on the ground, and so I assume that that's my gift because it said Happy Father's Day on it. But that's fine. I don't care. I mean, whatever. I just wish we had one day where they would just behave for like even a little bit. just for like
not until they're 18,
not like 10 minutes, you know, that would be just nice, but no, not this week,
not until they're 18. Anyway, so why did they end up doing this? Apparently Phil Spencer said simply, I wanted to do something with Sega, and this kind of helped. But they are indicating it could be a timed exclusive, so even though
probably
Phantasy Star Online 2 will be coming to the other systems, it probably won't be right away. So it does seem like there is at least a timed exclusive agreement with that. So something to keep in mind. But and as DJ Rama S is reminding me in chat, and I thought I mentioned it, but I'll mention it again, Windows PC will also be an option to you. So if you do have a PC that's good enough to play it, you don't necessarily have to run out and buy an Xbox just to just.
Is it part of Games Pass?
So, well, it's going to be free to play. So you know,
oh.
Yeah, so it just depends on how much of the you know in-game stuff you want to pick up. So one thing that was absent from E3, at least in the official press conference capacity and the direct, was the Nintendo 3DS.
Woohoo!
It was, yeah. I have to admit, I kind of had a similar reaction. Look, don't misinterpret me. I love the 3DS. It's a great system.
It's just time to move on.
It's just time to move on to the Nintendo Switch, which is a great portable system. But Nintendo does want to emphasize the 3DS is not dead. Doug Bowser, the new president, which we, I think, very clearly saw in that direct. We didn't talk about a little joke at the beginning, but
that was, it was silly.
It was, and Doug Bowser did a good job, right?
I think he did fine.
He's got some big shoes to fill. I think he did a fine job.
It's hard to fill Reggie's shoes.
It is. It's a very hard job. But I like that they used the humor a little bit to kind of, you know, show that he's got a sense of humor. He's not just going to be some dry CEO taking over. I think it's a good thing. Or, excuse me, president taking over. Doug Bowser did mention that the 3DS still has plenty of support from consumers and retail. So even though he said, at this point, we have no games to announce on the 3DS at E3, in fact, we're not really showing 3DS content here because it's all about the Nintendo Switch. But our 3DS business continues to do quite well. Retailers continue to support both the hardware and the software. And as long as there's consumer demand for 3DS, we'll continue to support it. In fact, we believe it's a great entry point for young gamers. So I imagine the 3DS will continue to be a third-party supported, like, I don't know, what's the modern equivalent of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen go shopping and those types of games? Barbie, Let's Ride Horse Creator, pretty, you know, those types of things that are more geared to kids. What are, like, the modern equivalent of that?
The modern equivalent of that? Just, like, movie tie-in games. Like, they've got one for, like, Weird Dolls or some Odd Dolls, or I don't remember what the movie is.
Adventure Time? I would say Adventure Time games, but I'm like, I know of a lot of adults who get high.
Yeah, Adventure Time's not bad.
Yeah. but yeah, so things that, you know, are a little more aimed at kids. Nickelodeon games, I guess we'll leave it at that. So Nickelodeon games, you know, and that type of thing. So it seems like there might still be... But Nintendo themselves doesn't seem like they're looking to do anything official on the 3DS right now. So you will just have to play one of the hundreds of games that already exist for the 3DS if you're looking for something like that. So, all right. Anyhow, Mistake Theory in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, Barbie Let's Ride Horse Creator 3D remastered this fall on the PS4. One can drink. Man, that was the one Xbox game I was hoping to see on Xbox One. Anyway. Dark Tetsuya says apparently one of the SpongeBob games is getting a remaster. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Battle for Bikini Bottom.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Let's travel around the world and check out some games that are going to be releasing a little sooner than a SpongeBob remaster as we check out world release dates starting in the U.S.
Blaster Master Zero on PC this week.
Cool.
And I can't believe it, but we're at this point finally. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Not the Switch, because that's next week or the week after.
Supposedly, I'm getting a copy of that, but, like, I filled out that backer survey, like, 3 years ago, and I guess I'm still getting it. Like, I don't think I get a physical copy. I think I get a digital copy. I feel like it was on PS4, but I moved it to the Switch. I feel like that was the thing I did. Like, I don't even know, you guys. This game I gave money to, like, 6 years ago. I finally get my payback on that, I guess. But I might have to wait one more week if I did ask for the Switch version.
Yeah. There's a game called 19-8X that's on PC and PlayStation 4. My Friend Pedro on the PC and Switch. Super Neptunia RPG on PC. And Yakuza 5 on PlayStation 4. And then actually, I'm just checking real quick to see if this is part of the week. Yep, apparently this is still part of the week. So we've got Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Traveling over to Japan and checking out some of the releases on the PlayStation 4 to start, we have on June 20th from Sega, Ryu ga Gotoku 5 Yume Kanaishi Mono Remaster is coming out this week. That is a Sega game.
Yakuza 5.
That's what it is, Yakuza 5. Yeah, of course. Of course, Yakuza 5. And then Ease 8, Lacrimosa of Dana, is getting a price reduction. I was like, I thought that Ease game was already out.
Yeah.
So that's just a price reduction that we get in Japan. Dead by Daylight Survivor Edition gets a release in Japan. I think they probably already had Dead by Daylight. This is probably like a DLC type thing. And then some new peripherals, like a new headset and things of that sort. So that's what you get on the PlayStation 4. On the Nintendo Switch this week, a game called Summer Pockets. Oh, and this must be the big release this week. Yo-Kai Watch 4. We're looking up at the same sky. I should point out that is a Switch release. So speaking of the 3DS, kind of moving on from that, those Yo-Kai Watch games were all on the 3DS previously.
Yeah.
So this will be the first one that's on the Switch. And I imagine some people very much looking forward to that one. Kind of surprised that didn't make its way to a Nintendo Direct. here. Did those games just kind of flop here? I thought the first one at least did pretty well
here. I don't know.
Huh. I wonder if they're still going to translate that here. I would think so. Especially with the fact that the Switch is doing pretty well, you would think so. But I guess we'll see. All right. Anyway, Mistake Theory in chat says, the Yo-Kai Watch Switch game looks beautiful. It puts the new Pokemon to shame, visually at least. And Akuma JP is letting out a yes in the chat room. I know those games are much bigger in Japan than they are here. They tried to make it a thing here. And I think that you would actually see the physical toys at Toys R Us and giving you an indication of how far back we got to go when Toys R Us was still around. But, you know, and that's more than I can say than most video games. So I think they hit a pretty good kid market with that stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, how about Europe? With Dark Sakura having left the building, Loki, can you cover Europe?
Yeah, so I mentioned this last week, but I guess it's been delayed a couple days. But Leisure Suit Larry Wet Dreams Don't Dry, that's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. The Sims 4 Island Living out on PC, that expansion there. Everspace Stellar Edition, that's coming out on PlayStation 4. We've got a double pack of Far Cry 5 and Far Cry 4. That's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night coming out over there as well. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Nippon Marathon on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Valtheria Arc Hero School Story on Nintendo Switch. Rico on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. And Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch.
Pixel Paca's in our chat says, I hate the name of the newest Leisure Suit Larry so much, LOL. Well, they're all pretty gross, to be fair. It's, I guess, kind of the point, but I kind of hear that name and I go, ugh. I make that same universal sound of disgust. Ugh. Anyway. All right. Let's get to the mailbag, shall we? Every week we invite you guys to email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of these emails here on the show. First email tonight from Garth Wolf. Hello, OLR. So I have to know, has Julian, which you guys don't know, that is Dark Sakura's BFF Becky. Her kid is Julian.
And not the Animal Crossing character we referenced earlier.
Not the Animal Crossing character, Julian, yes. Different one. But he's got to be like 12 now, 13 almost. I don't know. He's getting older. So anyway, the question is, has Julian heard Carly Rae Jepsen's new album? Is he absolutely living for track one? Let me translate to heterosexual. Okay. Track one on Carly Rae Jepsen's new album is called Julian, and it's a bop, as the kids would say. So it's a fun little song. So the question is, has Julian heard the song? Julian, we don't know, but we will pass that question along to Becky and get back to you. But now I want to know, since we brought up earlier in the show that there is an Animal Crossing character named Julian, what I want to know is, does Julian know about Julian in Animal Crossing, and do they listen to Julian by Carly Rae Jepsen while they play Animal Crossing? We'll ask these hard-hitting questions and get back to you. All right, moving on. One more email here from Frodo Swaggins. Again, and if you want to email us for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Hey, OLR, Frodo Swaggins here. So I've really been having an itch to play an MMO lately. I was thinking about getting into Elder Scrolls Online. I was doing some research, and I guess with all the expansions, some are saying that the game is in its prime. I played the heck out of Skyrim, so I think this might be up my alley. Do any of you have any experience with ESO? Also, beyond ESO, are there any MMOs you could recommend me trying out? And that is, again, from Frodo Swaggins. I have played a little bit of ESO. I will admit my experience when I played it was not great, but I think it's because I played it the week that it went. It's not free to play, but it lost the subscription fee on PlayStation 4. It went for like the Guild Wars model.
Yeah.
Where once you buy the game, then you pretty much like own it forever.
I only played it in beta, and I was expecting Skyrim. I didn't get Skyrim, so I was like, meh.
So I think that's important to know. ESO is not Skyrim. But that being said, the people that are into it that I know really seem to be into it. So it's worth checking out if you like Skyrim. There is no monthly fee, which, you know, obviously the big MMO players right now, World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XIV, they do have monthly fees. But otherwise, there's a lot out there that's either buy once or just straight up free to play, right? Guild Wars 2 is a buy once. Star Trek Online is free to play. I don't know if I don't know like what your tastes are completely. I mean, you like Skyrim, but if sci-fi is up your alley, I played Star Trek Online for a hot minute and I thought it was pretty fun. And that was way back in the beginning. I kind of want to, so many games, so little time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. DC Universe was another one like that. That played
That's still going?
I think so. That played like a beat 'em up, and that was fun. My answer, I'm going to encourage you to check out Final Fantasy 14. I think it's great, but it does have a monthly
World of Warcraft has like the starter thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and both those games do have a starter edition. So I think that's worth checking out. If you want to check out, you can just roll free to play. You can level a character up to like 35. You're limited on like how much gold you can have and who you can send tells to and stuff, because they don't want gold spammers just rolling unlimited free accounts. That's why there's so many restrictions. It's not just to like convince you to buy the game, but they have to be careful about some of those gold spammers and things like that being have easy access to make a new account. So, but I would definitely say download the trial edition of Final Fantasy 14. It's available on PlayStation 4 as well as PC, or World of Warcraft. If you want to try the behemoth granddaddy of them all, World of Warcraft does have a starter edition you can check out as well. And right here at the Voice of Geeks Network, you know, Girls Gone WoW is still going strong, and they're still into the game, and they talk about it still every week. Rating, I know they're still rating and doing progression, because I know they've been...
Are they jumping into that classic edition or whatever that is, vanilla?
I don't know if they've done... I feel like they did do like an episode on it, but until that's here, I don't know if... it's not out yet. But that's also not something I'm anticipating is going to be free to play, so it's a little bit outside what this question's about. Yeah. But that will be a thing at some point as well. So other comments in chat. So Questbuster, our chatters want to have their say as well. Kaijudo, actually, let me start with this comment. Kaijudo says, if you want to play an MMO, just play Minecraft. MMOs are a waste of money. But some MMOs are free to play, so you can't really say they're a waste of money. Like some, you know, just go into something like Steam and just look up free to play, and there's a lot of MMOs in there, especially a lot of the stuff that comes over from Korea. What's the one...
Sorry, Apple Watch can't answer that.
Wow, my Apple Watch just like suddenly turned on. Skynet has possessed my watch. Anyway, what's that one in Korea that the guys, it has an affiliation with DJ Maxx and has that song, but I don't know. Sword Art. Is that it? I don't know. Anyway. Path of Exile, Pixel Pacas calls out. That's not really an MMO. It's more like a Diablo-y game, but it's free and it's on all the consoles, that's for sure. Let's see. Questbuster does warn, careful with the Korean stuff. A lot of the big Korean MMOs are massive grind fests. Bless, that was the name of it. Thank you, Shane. Questbuster also says, ESO just released a new expansion too called Elsewhere. I hope I said that right. Homeland of the Khajiit, and introduces a new necromancer class. I've also heard the same as Rob. People that are playing it seem to like it, and it's come a long way since its rough beta days. And then also brings up the Diablo-like games. Questbuster says there's also Warframe if you want something more sci-fi. Dark Tetsuya says I should bring up the Final Fantasy 14 vanilla thing that was on Twitter. I wish I had the video ready to go, but I retweeted it on my personal account at Rob Roberts. So somebody in an E3 interview or something asked the question of Yoshi P that it didn't say because of World of Warcraft vanilla, but basically was saying, since it's been so many years since 1.0, have you ever thought about releasing 1.0 and a version of that that people can experience? And Yoshi P, he understands enough English where he just starts busting up laughing as the question is being asked. And then so the translator starts to go and say the thing, and then the translator hands the mic over and he just looks at it and he goes, nightmare. And then everybody laughs because it's true. Nightmare. And one thing that's also important, World of Warcraft vanilla was kind of good for its time. Final Fantasy 14 1.0, although I guess towards the end of its run, it had some inklings of the game that was to come. And I think people remember it a little more fondly in its final form. But honestly, guys, let them use the resources to keep reinventing the game. I think Shadowbringers is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to playing
it. Still holding out for my 11 remaster.
Yeah. Right? Someday. All right. Frodo Swaggins says, I noticed you just mentioned Skynet. I don't know much about it besides they just launched a bunch of satellites and it's supposed to give people internet worldwide. Do you think that will have an impact on the gaming industry? Well, the reason why I say Skynet is watch a movie called Terminator 2. And it looks,
oh, my God.
I'll explain why I say that. Right, kids today. Do you know what year Terminator 2 came out? It was a long time ago, Loki. It's very possible.
But there's been several Terminator movies that have come out since then that have covered Skynet within the last like 10 years.
And are they worth watching, Loki? That's what I thought. All right.
The new one is. I mean, I don't know.
But to take the other part of the question seriously, do you think that'll have an impact on the gaming industry? Sure, if people have internet worldwide, then things like Stadia you can take a lot more seriously as really being able to impact the industry. And I think the more accessible the internet becomes, I think that's just going to be a better thing just in general for being able to communicate and learn from other cultures and learn from other people. I think that's just going to be a good thing. And gaming is just one part of that. And Bobby does say, you're thinking of Starlink, not Skynet. Skynet is a movie reference. You know what? I get stuff mixed up all the time.
And Starlink.
We're just having fun.
And Starlink is a failed Toys to Life game that had Star Fox in it.
All right. Anyway, that was it for our emails tonight. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us emails if you have something you'd like to ask about in the future. We do have a few more stories, that things that happened this week that don't necessarily relate to the press conferences. In fact, one story that they would probably rather that wasn't reported on this week, right, Loki?
Yes. So there's been layoffs or potential layoffs with Amazon Game Studios. So apparently they are going to be shifting some of the shift some of the employees to other positions. But if those employees don't find other positions, they're just going to be let go. So Amazon Game Studios, they're reorganizing some of the teams to allow us to prioritize development of New World and Crucible and new unannounced projects we're excited to reveal in the future. These moves are a result of regular business planning cycles where we align resources to match evolving long-range priorities. We are working closely with the employees affected by these changes to assist them in finding new roles within Amazon. Amazon is deeply committed to the games and continues to invest heavily in Amazon Game Studios, Twitch, Twitch Prime, AWS, and our retail businesses, as well as other areas within Amazon. So it sounds like kind of like what we had with Blizzard, where they're just kind of looking at what's going to be coming in the pipeline and adjusting staff accordingly.
Well, and then we also heard about that they canceled a project too, although I guess most of the programmers moved to other stuff, but maybe...
Well, we don't know what the project was. It could be...
Well, the whole StarCraft Ghost, quote-unquote thing. Oh, you mean in this case with Amazon?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, we know Amazon's got that big MMO. You know,
I completely forgot of.
Exactly, me too. I hate to say it, but I kind of forgot that that was all a thing until this news about the layoffs came out. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, Amazon was working on, like, that next big MMO. Speaking of, you know, one of the previous emails we just had, this next big MMO that they really want people to check out. And I remember we got a little bit of information on it, but... Here we are, E3, and Amazon hasn't said anything. So, but they went out. They said that this layoff does not affect that game. They are working on these games still. It's not that these have been canceled by any means. It's other stuff that we hadn't heard about yet.
Yeah.
So, interesting. So, New World is the name of that MMO. Thank you, Questbuster. It had a closed beta earlier this year, and then nothing. Oh, I didn't even realize it had a closed beta. So you would think it's getting close. I wonder if Amazon's going to say some more on that. Well, our thoughts to those that were affected by the layoff. It does sound like at least Amazon's being pretty decent about they gave them notice, so they have time to relocate within Amazon.
Like 60 days,
And start to look for other work. So it wasn't just like they brought them in and said, bye, your insurance is canceled tomorrow. Like, it sounds like at least for all – like, there's a lot worse ways this could have been handled, telltale. But it sounds like this one went all right. You know, for as crappy of a situation as it is – it's at least a little bit more of a ramp down instead of just a drop off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on. Oh, this is kind of interesting about, you know, we love our AR games. At least I do. I play just a little bit of Ingress and Pokemon Go.
I don't know if you saw the coverage of like Minecraft Earth in E3, but they...
No, I didn't see any of it.
They were showing, like, different outlets were showing some of the stuff with it, but I really want to play that game.
Yeah, it looks cool. No, I'm pretty much a sucker. Like, what people don't realize, as much as people like to tease me for playing a lot of Ingress and playing a lot of Pokemon Go, and rumor, big RU, is that America's getting Harry Potter Wizards Unite this week. That there's a big event on Tuesday, and it's going to launch in America. And if that's the case, I apologize to all my Ingress friends, but I'm going to be taking that over.
You're going to split it in the four now.
Look, here's the thing. I'm max level and then summon Ingress with the whole recursion thing, right? I've looped through the game and I'm back on level 12. I've lapped my husband.
So which house are you going to be?
I don't think you don't really pick a house. No, it's not PvP. It's like a PvE game. So I
but
think
still
you do,
though.
I think you still do get to pick it. Slytherin, of course I'm picking Slytherin. And that's not even because of green, but in part. But yeah, Slytherin for sure. If that's an option. But here's the thing. I'm max level in Ingress. I'm max level in Pokemon Go. I'm just about to hit 30 million XP cumulative. So 20 million is when you hit level 40. So that'll tell you how much. And I don't even play as much Pokemon Go as I was. I caught
I've
two shinies.
I've stopped carrying my gacha with me because I just I have trouble setting it up in the car
it
sometimes.
Runs, it runs the battery down way too fast.
It's just I just don't care enough anymore. I'm like, eh, I missed my bonus. Eh, whatever. I'll play it sometimes, but like, I didn't really play this weekend either.
Yeah. Again, so, and everybody's going like, oh, shit, in chat. Rumor, big rumor. But there was something about because tangent time before we get to the topic that's actually in the sidebar. So apparently Niantic sued these guys that were making a game called like Ingress Plus Plus and Pokemon Go Plus Plus that basically had extra utilities and spoofing abilities built into the apps. And they were saying, and these people that were making the apps were saying that they were building it for people who can't, who are due to a disability or whatever, can't go out in the real world and play. And I'm kind of like, in the real world, there are lots of disability accessible spots. And I kind of think that's like a misdirect to make people feel bad about what they're really doing, which is the spoofing. The spoofing is out of control in a lot of these AR games, and it needs to be dealt with. And so I applaud Niantic for suing this company, and they shut down. They're gone now. The next day, they were basically like, our legal team has told us, you know, they're like, we're going to get sued into oblivion. We have to shut down, basically. So that all happened. And the question about why now is apparently this company already had, because the Harry Potter game is already out in Australia, New Zealand. It's been testing there. Apparently this company already had its Wizards Unite Plus Plus ready to go. And so the reason why Niantic did this when they did this is because, rumor, they're doing Wizards Unite this week in the U.S. and they wanted to get out in front of the cheater train. So that way when the game launches, it's not rampant with cheaters in the beginning of the game. Interesting, right? I'm just glad Niantic's doing something about it. So where was I before I got into all that? I don't even know. So
other AR games.
Yeah, SSG100 Matt in chat says, ugh, I hate it when spoofers use that as an excuse. I do too. Like, you know what you're really doing. Please, you know. And and SSG100 Matt says, don't get me wrong. I believe there are people with disabilities that can't play, and it does suck that they can't play, but spoofers use this. And I would be all for something maybe to make, you know, maybe the ball throwing more accessible to somebody, or, you know, making some tweaks, doing, you know, different types of things that we can do within the game. But I think you still need to be able to go out in the real world and, you know, play. And, yeah, I think that's what it is for me. All right. Anyhow, going on to other AR games that have nothing to do with Niantic's wheelhouse, but we got on that tangent anyway. So Netflix announced some other games as well, some Stranger Things-based games. Apparently, there's like a Fortnite-Stranger Things collaboration happening. I had no idea that was a thing, but of course it's a thing because Fortnite.
They collaborate with everything.
Yeah, why not? But apparently, there is a Pokemon Go-style. But see, when the media calls it that, I go, it doesn't mean that you're going to like throw a ball and catch, you know,
Demigorgon.
11 into, yeah, I don't think it's going to be like
that.
Yeah,
Tessa Hydra.
But it's a location-based game called Stranger Things Mobile Game for Android and iOS. And, of course, it revolves around the upside down. Now, that part I get is that, like, oh, so, like, depending on where you are on the phone, you're in the upside down, I would think is the logical, oh, that's how it's going to work. So maybe you do battle the Demigorgons and all this stuff, but where they're at is kind of a real world. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, the game revolves around the upside down, and it's all hidden all around you and what you do day to day. And you have to work together with friends to overcome the evils that are escaping from the upside down. It's due next year. It's being made by Next Games, who made Our World, which is the Walking Dead location game, which is like one of the few that I haven't played because I'm just not super into the Walking Dead because I'm just not super into zombie stuff anymore. Like, the old stuff's fine, but anyway. There's also another game that's coming out called Stranger Things 3, the game, that ties into the third season of the TV show.
That's that, like, retro-looking game that comes out July 2nd.
But this is all – well, and this is all a reminder that Stranger Things Season 3 is about to debut on July 4th because we're getting it in July, not October. So because they didn't do one last year. So it's been a while. They didn't do one last year, so we've had to wait since October of 2017 for this.
Well, and it's because the last one took place during Halloween. This one takes place, I think, around 4th of July, so it makes sense.
Yeah, well, they also might have been a convenient, you know, the way they wrote it. But I binged watched the first two seasons. I'll watch this one too. Who are we going to get? There's very few TV shows I have this attention span to sit down and watch, but I'll watch it for sure. So I'm excited. I didn't know Netflix put shows out on Blu-ray, but I was at Target and they were selling the Stranger Things box set. And I was like, but Netflix, okay. Wouldn't it cost as much to buy just 2 months of Netflix?
I just watched the new season of Black Mirror too.
Oh, did you? I have not watched it yet, but I can't escape Ashley O. You know, though, I'm on a roll, achieving my goals. I love that. It's great how they did that.
That one is an interesting episode. There's one that has to do with VR that was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on from Stranger Things AR, because that won't be until next year anyway. Loki, on a little more serious tone.
Yeah, let's talk about Riot Games. So Riot Games is being investigated, apparently, by the Department of Fair Employment and Housing in regards to, I guess, they had an ongoing investigation to alleged gender discrimination and allege unequal pay, sexual harassment, sexual assault, retaliation, and gender discrimination, selection and promotion. And apparently the investigation began October 2018. Riot says that they have refused to provide the department with adequate information. Or I guess they're saying that the department is saying that Riot Games has refused to provide them with adequate information. Riot, of course, is saying, though, that they have, you know, been supplying them with tons of information, including 2,500 pages of documents and several thousand lines of pay data so far. And they're responding promptly. So we'll have to see how this all shakes up. But really a good place to be.
Yeah, all I can say is it feels like the situation keeps escalating here for Riot. I mean, between, you know, now this outside, I mean, you already had the problems from within with the employees, you know, doing their protests and things. I don't know. Like, could this end up ruining the company? I mean, it's just...
it's not a good face for them.
Look. Yeah.
But,
you got to change and fast.
I mean, it's... I wonder if it's just more of kind of an indication of, like, kind of the whole... like that whole area and as a whole, like a lot of these big AAA companies, you know, seem to have a lot of the same issues. I'm wondering if we'll see more fallout if this is successful, you know, coming from those other companies, and maybe a little bit more proactive measures on their part to try to like be more inclusive.
And just like, don't like treat everybody with respect. Most importantly, you know,
don't be a dick.
Yeah. Don't be a dick. It's very, very simple. So, all right, let's move on here and talk a little bit about something. This is from E3, but I thought this was really cool for especially those collectors that like to get those little arcade cabinets. Those little arcade 1-Up cabinets
are getting bigger.
They're getting bigger. They got some bigger licenses. So they you know, before we had kind of like a lot of the same Atari things we've been seeing for a while. Then we started to hear about Mortal Kombat Trilogy. You know, that's
Street Fighter
cool.
is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, and now they're getting some big ones. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade 1-Up. That's right, with Ninja Turtles and Turtles in Time, and it's four players full.
Awesome.
So these are those replica arcade cabinets. They're not quite as big as an actual arcade cabinet, but they're great for like a bar top, or you know, they're pretty sizable.
They're pretty big, yeah.
Yeah. It's very comparable to what you used to have in here, which, by the way, is the coding place.
It's in a back room right now because they have to filter out some of the games that were on there, because apparently when I filtered it out, I only did it for the main category. But if you go in the subcategories, it's all of the games on there. Mm-hmm. And so they want to filter it down to, it's like several thousand games right now. And they want to just put like a few on there. So they're just working on that.
My favorite thing, though, about the Ninja Turtles 90s cabinet that they're putting out is that they are retaining the 1990s Ninja Turtles art, complete with that April O'Neil with that. Just that wig that she's got, that huge red wig that she has, and that yellow jumpsuit that she's wearing. Like, it's like, it's some like Evangeline's Costume Mansion Halloween realness. It's going to be, it's great. I love it. But that's not all. I keep focusing on Ninja Turtles, but there's other ones too. There's a Marvel Superheroes machine with Marvel Superheroes, X-Men Children of the Atom. Whoa, that game's huge. And the Punisher. That's going to be a hell of a cabinet. And then, so they announced those, and then they announced one more during the show. And this one, like, I had to text my friend Melody right away because she is a huge fan of Star Wars. And there's going to be another cabinet with Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and The Return of the Jedi, all of those Atari Vector games complete with that Yolk controller. That is badass. So,
It's almost like, I mean, I wish I had the room to just collect some of
them. Oh, my God, right? But these things are like hundreds of dollars each. But I'm like, oh, my God, I see my future basement getting nuttier and nuttier with these things.
I'm surprised they haven't done, like, replica pinball machines yet.
I'm curious. Careful what you're thinking, because I bet that might be a future direction they go in. I want to know if Bobby Blackwolf has started eyeing these, if he's got a little eye on these going, I might have to do this. So I'm curious if any of these newer ones have tempted him, because I know he's thinking about building his basement arcade at some point. I think he wants to finish everything he wanted to
do. I need to fix up my cabinet they have, because the monitor's out on it, and the problem is with that, it's like, it's already blasphemous I painted it black because it's a Sega Astro City, and everyone paints it white because it's a white cabinet. I wanted to be different and paint it black, so already it's an outcast. But I wanted to get the monitor fixed, and I don't know how exactly to do that. I may end up having to replace it with an LCD, but, you know, they don't make 4x3 LCDs anymore, so I may have to do something not so nice and, like, get a, you know, 16x9 TV and try to shove it in there, which worked okay for my DDR machine. So, I mean, it would be fine, but I would like to get that working again.
And just to be clear, Bobby Blackwolf does say in our chat room, I might get the Star Wars one. So he's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. Anyway, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we're going to invite your calls on our Discord channel. If you want to join the green room, just head over to vognetwork.com/discord. That'll get you the invite generated into our Discord server, and you can join and head over to the green room. And it's also great if you could tell us what you'd like to call in about in our channel for Orange Lounge Radio. We are running a little long tonight with this being – we got a late start, and it is an E3 episode, so I'm not – like, if there's not people wanting to call in, I'm going to – move right along, but I do want to give an opportunity for folks to call in. We will get to that in just a moment. We have a couple more stories for you first before we get there.
Yeah, so there's this game called Platigo, Super Platform Game Maker, and it basically is what it sounds like. It's sort of like, I guess a little bit like Mario Maker, a little bit like RPG Maker, in which you can make your own platform games. And so what's kind of cool about it is they have, it is available now on the Switch and on Steam. You can actually make retro games similar. They have different, like, art styles. So they have, like, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, Commodore 64 styles, Amiga. You can design different traps, platforms. You can even, create your own custom sprites and everything for the games themselves. It looks pretty cool. It's, like, $20 right now on Steam. I don't know if I would pick this up because I probably wouldn't do anything with it or wouldn't finish anything with it. And we all know, we all know how that is. So, but it looks neat. I'd be curious to see how you can share out this type of stuff. I know they showed in the trailer that you can link your levels together, so you can make a whole game out of it if you wanted to. So I'd be curious to see, like, how this is shared on there, if they have, like, Steam workshop support or something like that.
That'd be cool. I was looking, it looked a little Mario Maker-y to me, so it looked pretty easy to do.
Yeah, and they've got some sprites that it comes with in different enemies already, but you can, like, customize gravity, so you can kind of do, like, a little bit like a VVVV. They had different hazards. I don't know what the limitations are on there. The reviews seem to be pretty positive from what I've seen. There were some that, they had wished that you can export the game to its own executable or something like that, so you can, I don't know, sell it or share it or whatever. But being that, like, you can kind of steal sprites from other things, I don't know. Let's learn Game Maker at that point. But
how long is it going to take before you see a World 1-1 remake, right?
Oh, I probably already happened. But
how long before we see a level full of dicks?
But it's cool to, like, for $20, that's not bad. I mean, compared not to, like, all. RPG Maker, which is, like, $70 for that shit.
You catch it on a sale, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, it might be worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, moving on to one more topic here tonight that has to do with Square Enix. And, a lot of people very jazzed to hear about that Final Fantasy VIII remaster and are wondering, could maybe Square want to do a Chrono? You want to say the word Chrono? in a remaster. Well, here's the thing. Square Enix does want to make their entire back catalog available digitally. That includes things like Rad Racer, 3D World Runner,
yes,
and some of those types of games. But here's the catch. So Square Enix president and CEO Yosuke Matsuda said in an interview, quote, "We're working on that in a variety of ways. That is a request we hear often. As far as our major titles go, most of those, we still have variations out that you can play now."
God, I would love them to bring back Rad Racer as a franchise. It would be fucking awesome.
"The more classic titles that you might have played on NES, we're still working hard to make it so you can play those. We actually have launched a dedicated project internally to port those, so we're working to make them available on a variety of platforms." So at least the old Rad Racer, it sounds like you might be able to play. I hope they keep the support for the 3D. That would be great. If you could find an old retro 80s pair of glasses, that would be great. Certainly down the road, we would like to see that on a subscription or streaming service. So we're exploring the possibility of creating a dedicated channel for ourselves.
No.
I think everyone is going in that direction, streaming, so we do want to be proactive in considering those options. We still don't know if it would take a subscription service or an exclusive downloading service or what form it might take, but we do want to leverage our catalog. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but in some cases, we don't know where the code is anymore. It's very hard to find them sometimes because back in the day, you just made them and put them out there and you were done. You didn't think of how you were going to sell them down the road. Sometimes customers ask, why haven't you released that game yet? And the truth of the matter is, it's because we don't know where it's gone. And on it, like, I believe it. Like, he's absolutely right. Back in the day, it was just get the game out. You don't think about, oh, yeah, I got to get the game out. And then I want to release it again in 10 more years and it's remastered. People weren't thinking like that back then. So, which is probably a good thing, right? But they weren't necessarily retaining the source code. So either they're having to go, like, reverse compile things, or I don't know how they're doing it, or like, go find the guy who wrote it and make him remember how he did it and that whole type of thing. So anyway, by the way, a lot of people in our chat room piping up at the whole Rad Racer thing. That would be an awesome – like, I would – even if Square Enix kind of, like, gave the ability to do that to somebody else, because think – they could really do anything they want with Rad Racer. The original Rad Racer, the kick was 3D, right? How about Rad Racer as a VR Square Enix game? Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That'd
look,
be cool.
Look, if I'm not going to get my
but
fucking
yeah,
F-Zero.
It could be pretty awesome.
Rad Racer VR. I'd be into that. Hell yeah. Anyway. Yeah, ActDeft in chat says, who knew retro video games would have been profitable? Yeah, SSJ100 Matt says, yeah, back in the day, archiving wasn't a thing. DJ Rama S says, I thought they were going to announce Rad Racer 3, but that was another racing game Square Enix is backing. Oh, yeah, that's right. There was a Rad Racer 2. I always forget that they actually did have a Rad Racer 2 at one point, but it's pretty easy to forget that existed. All right. Anyhow, let's go to Listener Roundtable. If you want to give us a call, you can head on over to our Discord server, but you'll want to get over there pretty quickly. I'm not going to leave it open long. Also, if you have questions in chat, if you're like, it's not really worth calling in, I just want to ask this question, you can go ahead and put that out in our chat room and we'll get around to it. Bobby Blackwolf does point out the BBC destroyed old shows because they needed the shelf space, hence why many early Doctor Who episodes are lost. Yeah, they had to either like they had to find the one guy in the middle of nowhere who taped it, or like I think there's one episode they stitched together. Like they had the audio only because somebody had taped the audio and they stitched it together with like production stills or something. I think there's an episode like that out there. But the BBC destroyed things. There was a big news article this week about how some music masters were lost in Universal's studios fire a few years ago, which is really sad. Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, before we get to calls, quickly checking in to see if there's any last minute stories.
Probably
not a lot this week.
No.
Yeah. I guess E3 and all that.
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of the big
ones.
Or
if there were. Like,
yeah, I hear you. Anyway, we do have a call coming in, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. Good to hear from you, buddy. What's up?
It's good to hear from you, too. But yeah, I was really kind of hyped for that Rad Racer 3, but it was a different racing game.
I would love it if Square Enix would revisit that property. They don't even have to call it Rad Racer 3. Come on, it's been this long. They can just call it Rad Racer. I think people would lose their minds. It'd be awesome.
Exactly. But I called it not to talk about games or E3 at the moment.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said I called it not to talk about E3, but something else.
Oh, okay, sure. What?
Did you see the season premiere of Pressure Luck and Card Sharks?
I haven't yet. I'm sorry to let you down, but they're an hour, I guess, and not 30 minutes. So I haven't gotten around to it, but I think they're on Hulu or something, right? So I'll get around to it. I didn't get to it this last week, but I heard Pressure Luck was good, except for that weird bonus round, I guess they have at the end.
Yeah, that was my main issue. That took up like the second half hour of the show.
Oh God, that's a long bonus round.
Yeah, basically you have a chance to go up against the big board and you get like six chances, but if you make it past six chances, you get four chances and so on and so forth to amass as much money as you can. But if you get the whammy four times, that's it.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I guess they had to think of a way to extend it to an hour, but I mean, if 30 minutes works, just keep it at 30 minutes. It's tough though when you're a primetime show. I think there's a certain expectation that may have worked a little better in daytime. But I hear Elizabeth Banks is doing a good job as a host, since, you know, I think they wanted to go a very, very different direction. You know, obviously Peter Tamarkin's no longer with us, so I think they just wanted to go a really different direction. It sounds like they got a good result with Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, she was pretty sassy. You'd be proud.
Good, good. And then Card Sharks, look, I heard it was a lot of fun.
I was pleasantly surprised by Joel McHale hosting it.
Yeah, sometimes he can be really annoying, but when he's not, like, he's really funny.
Yeah. That was two episodes built into an hour like they did with Celebrity Family Feud. They did change the rounds where instead of, like, two rounds of five cards each, it's one round of 10 cards.
Okay. Well, that's what they should do with Pressure Luck then. They shouldn't feel the need to make it an hour, and they should just make it two half-hour episodes back-to-back or something.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Now here's, okay. So since it is a video game podcast, you know, a lot of early video games and certainly things that I remember playing, and a lot of like good old Commodore 64 stuff that I remember playing, was conversions of game shows. So do you think
this
whole game show renaissance we're seeing, especially on ABC, is like their summer programming? Because God, what, you have Pressure Luck, you have Card Sharks, you have the $100,000 pyramid is still a thing, right? Or whatever they call it now, pyramid, whatever it is. That's still a thing, right? Match Game is still a thing. Family Feud is still a thing. Yet, I don't think we have a video game conversion for any of these. Not a modern one. Granted, you know, those games that have been around
forever.
Well,
are they on mobile, though?
Oh, God. Why did you have to go there?
There are mobile, but I think it might have been Ubisoft or another company going back maybe about 5, 6, 7 years. They did have like those games. Like there was a Price is Right game. I've seen that like as a pack-in game on various laptops and desktops back in the day.
Yeah, true. And some folks in chat are naming there's other game shows still around as well. Of course, you know, your old standards, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, those have been on forever. And I guess Alex Trebek is doing better, which is fantastic to hear. Jeopardy's kind of having a renaissance right now when you got that guy that was so close to breaking the record and then just had a bad day or something, didn't make it at the end there. But, you know, Jeopardy's kind of having a renaissance right now between all those things, and I feel like that game's going to be around forever, and, you know, those make for some good game show conversions as well. Let's see, what else are they saying here? The Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader just got rebooted as well.
My kids totally want to see it now because they're huge fans of John Cena.
That's
we
right.
saw the trailer before. They had, like, the previews before the Secret Life of Pets 2, so they're like, oh, my God, we got to watch this show because John Cena's in it, so... He's
Make
fine.
Sure you show your kids Double Dare as well.
The Double Dare reboot's apparently really good too. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So yeah, game shows.
I just got to figure out which streaming service that's on because I don't have technically cable, but I have like Hulu and Amazon and Netflix. I just don't think any of those have those. It's like probably its own standalone Nickelodeon app.
Kaijudo in chat says game shows never went away. They just bring back old classics. But we've had primetime game shows for decades. It hasn't changed. That's true. I mean, you know, game shows have kind of always been a thing. Well, especially in daytime. Like The Price is Right hasn't stopped since the 60s. That show's been on forever. Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, they've been on nonstop since the 80s.
Let's Make a Deal is on CBS.
Oh, yeah, that's back. Let's Make a Deal's been on for quite some time. For sure. And then, you know, there's always Game Show Network. And also game shows kind of took a little turn. And not everybody's going to be a fan of this. But in some ways, things like Survivor are a game show, right? You do win $1 million, right? And it is a game that they're playing. It's just a very different, very psychological game that's not always glamorous. But Survivor, in many ways, is a game show. It's just a very different type that then kind of started its own genre. Where you
do
have
still have Amazing Race on there?
Amazing Race is still going.
Don't get Hell's Kitchen. I mean, come on.
It's Amazing Race is meta at this point, because Amazing Race, this current season, is all – it's either people that prior played the Amazing Race versus Survivor contestants as teams versus Big Brother contestants as teams.
Oh.
So that's all getting meta. And Big Brother is another – then Big Brother is kind of like the Jerry Springer of game shows. But I live for it. I'll watch it for sure. So – yeah, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says The Mole with Anderson Cooper is still the best. Co-signed. Man, I wish they'd bring back The Mole, which I realize they've already done twice, but they haven't done it as good as the first time. They need to find a host as good as Anderson Cooper. I know. I mean, you might say nobody is going to be as good as Anderson Cooper, and that may or may not. No, I would be as good as Anderson Cooper. I will host the fucking Mole reboot. Somebody, but obviously they're not going to give me a call. Somebody out there has got to have that tongue-in-cheek. Who would be a good person that's like kind of serious when they need to be, but very tongue in cheek when the time is appropriate? I think kind of Jeff Probst is very good at this too. Although I think Jeff Probst is kind of a better host than he is a producer. I'm not sure. Like this last season of Survivor was not good, and this new season of Survivor is looking a little. But as far as Survivor goes, there's an all winners edition that's like the next one, and everybody's hyped about that, like, because it's going to be, because you believe it or not, guys, Survivor is coming up on its 40th season. So this next one's 39 in the fall, 40 is going to be. So for their 40th edition, they found 16 prior winners to make up the cast because they have so many people to choose from. So now the winners are going to do battle. So that's pretty cool though. So somebody's going to go from winning the game to getting voted out first. That already happened, actually. Survivor Geek, for back in the day. I don't watch the new ones as much, but the old ones. That happened to Tina. She won Survivor the Australian Outback, and then Survivor All-Star, she got voted out first. Because she was a prior winner. So.
Whoops.
Anyway. Yes, going to chat over at Twitch. ActDev says 1 versus 100 in video game form again. Oh, that'd be great. DJ Rama S says Millionaire was canceled. Yeah, Millionaire was going for a long time. And it went through many hosts. Like, it had, obviously, the Regis Philbin one in primetime, but the Meredith Vieira one went for a long time. And then who hosted after her? Cedric the Entertainer, I think, for a minute?
That was some...
I don't know.
And then they had one of the guys from Dancing with the Stars did it. And then now it's done. I don't think it's on anymore. So. Oh, Shane says it's not 16 winners, it's 20. Holy crap. And no, apparently Richard Hatch is not in it for whatever reason. People are speculating it could be because of the jail time that he served from not paying his taxes the first time, or the fact that there was something that really, really hasn't aged well. Well, it wasn't good when it happened, but in the original All-Stars, didn't I just talk about this on OLR
like 3 weeks ago? Okay. Last week.
Go back to OLR like 3 weeks ago. I talked about this earlier. There was a sexual harassment thing that happened and it wasn't good. So anyway. Okay. Enough about the old game shows. What game show would you want to see them make a new video game out of most of all?
Oh man. I mean, with interactivity and so forth, I would have to say it would have to be a toss up between Double Dare or Funhouse, because I love to live in daylight to both those game shows.
It would be hard to translate those to video games though, but they are fun shows, but it's just not the same if you don't have actual GAC to
go
through.
I got a good one.
Okay.
So I want to see a VR version of Nick Arcade. So like you're actually standing up, you know, hitting the buzzer and everything like that, and we have to go into the actual arcade, the like arcade game. It'd be VR, and you can just
okay.
Do that. All right.
My answer: I just want them to bring back 1 versus 100. I think that was a great concept that was ahead of its time.
Or VR Guts. Let's just do VR all of the
Nick, all the Nick
stuff. Yeah.
All right. Rob, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thanks for the call. You know I'll always talk about old game shows.
Yeah. And let me just say this about 1 versus 100 before I get out of here.
Yeah.
One night, like a special all anime edition. So all of my squad, we're on Xbox Live, trash talking each other, going through the questions. At the end of the round, at the end of the game, I was up there at the number two slot. And I wish I still had a screenshot of that.
Nice. That's great. I wish I was around the night they did like a video game trivia night, but I couldn't make it. But I know I would have kicked butt at it. But I need to get motivated and really assert myself to do more game show hosting panels at cons. I really should have bid to try to do one at Dragon Con. It's one of those things I just didn't think of till after the fact. But I would love to host more game shows at conventions because I think it's a lot of fun. And some of the ones that I've been to needed some help. So that's my goal. I think I'm going to make that a goal in the next year. I will host a game show at a convention, and it will be awesome.
Rob, you need to get connected to some various people because that's the big thing, especially at anime cons. There are game show departments, and you got people who are writing PowerPoint presentations and Flash games templates just to run these game shows. And I'm actually trying to put something together like a Family Feud set up for a con next year.
Hmm. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go. So take care.
You too. Stay fabulous, man.
I will. Take care. Bye.
All right.
All right. Always good to hear from Rama, but that is going to nobody else is waiting on Discord. So we'll go ahead and close down Discord because I think it's about time we wrap up the show and get on out of here for the night. So I want to thank you all for listening, though, tonight, whether you were watching along with us live on Twitch or you're listening to this on the podcast feed, where, of course, the show is still always available in places like iTunes, Google Play Store, and so on. Yes, I know we need to get into more places, and I'm going to be working on that in the very near future. I'm also, since next week is a birthday show of sorts, I am working on some things for next week to try to as has been said in one Food Network guy, kick it up a notch a little bit. So,
in other words, what he's trying to tell you is that he's going to be acquiring a buzzer.
That too. I'll be working on that. That was not my list
taboo
until tonight.
Buzzer.
But there it is. Anyway. So if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio tonight, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on the air, then how can we possibly air them? So with that, Loki, thank you, of course, for being here, as you always are. Do you have any last thoughts for our listeners tonight?
I may stream this week. I don't know. Depends whether I decide to do some streaming or be ridiculous and work extra long hours on work stuff. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I've got several nights that I can do it, so we'll see. Or I could clean the house. None of those sound like fun ideas, except for streaming, of
course.
That's
why you have kids. Make them clean. Or they don't eat dinner.
Or they don't. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway. My final thought for the night is, hey, if you can, get your butt to Dragon Con over Labor Day weekend in Atlanta. I can't say too much, but some of the early stuff is starting to take shape, and it's gonna be a heck of a year. It's going to be a really fun year. I'm finally getting Extifer to go this year. Need I say more?
Yeah,
I
really want to.
Before there's any talk about any panels or any of that stuff, that alone should be the reason to go to Dragon Con. It's going to be fun.
How many days is Dragon Con?
It runs, it's technically now Thursday is technically a day now. It wasn't
so Thursday through Sunday,
Thursday through Monday, Monday. It's a 3-day weekend, Thursday through Monday. You don't have to go every day. A lot of locals don't, they just go to the parade and maybe go to a day on Saturday. But, no, this year, I'm going to be gone this year for 9 days. I think it is because I'm going to visit Extifer in North Carolina. I'm actually going to miss. So at the end of August, just to warn you guys, we're going to miss 2 weeks of OLR. I'm really sorry, but, hey, Dragon Con is just that big a deal this year where we're going to miss 1 week because of Dragon Con. I'm actually flying out the Saturday before, so I'll miss that Sunday. So my hope is we can actually prior record so that we don't miss a ton, but we'll have a prior recorded show the week before.
Or we'll just do the Orange Lounge Pirate Radio show where I will host
if
in my dirty-ass garage.
You and Jamie have every right to take over for a night. It's just, you know, you got to get me the MP3 so we can get it posted. But, yeah, the Pirate Radio version. That'll be a lot of fun. So, all right. Anyway, Bobby Blackwell says our Dragon Con starts Wednesday. We'll try to film something at Dragon Con and premiere it on our usual slot. That's also a good call is that we will probably film something, and because Twitch does let us do video on demand, we can probably actually film, edit, and have it up on the Twitch TV for Sunday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. So that's very likely. It won't be like OLR and it won't be Bobby Blackwolf, but it'll be some of the faces having fun at Dragon Con. I think it'll be a good time. So anyway, but stay tuned for that. That's still a few months away. I would just encourage you to be there in person in Atlanta if you can. But we're going to wrap up this week's show. We'll be back in 7 days to celebrate
17 years
of Orange Lounge Radio. 17 years. Old enough, just about old enough to vote. Old enough to have a job. Old enough to be a senior in high school. We'll be back here to celebrate that next week with you all. Many opportunities to call in next week and hopefully some other special treats as well. So we really hope you'll join us here for our 17th birthday next week. In the meantime, happy gaming. Lots of games to play. Go play them and be nice. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.